Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Oh, no, you didn't. From the Bob Barker Studio, come on down. Let's party.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer, probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you, including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher.
The Belcher.
Funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Ah, Hugh.
We have another one?
We have a new one.
Oh, we have a new one.
Somebody else has just joined us. Yes?
This guy, we love this
guy.
Hello, douchebag.
Oh. You're on the radio.
Hi, is this Michael O'Mara's pub?
Oh, fantastic.
And you're on the radio.
Oh, well,
Oh, no.
Oh, that's right.
There's a guy with a bunch of telephones.
Yes, he went to another call.
You're on the radio. Is it you?
Hello.
Oh, no.
Three in a row?
Somebody else on the air.
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio.
Oh, good evening.
Where are you calling from?
Where am I calling? New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey?
Newark.
Newark. So you didn't lose any power or you didn't have any problems with the fires?
No, but I have friends in Connecticut that have
still
lost a lot of power.
Are you calling on Skype?
I don't know what Skype is. All
what?
Using. Well, maybe I should turn my radio up.
That might help, yeah.
Hey, Bob, you got New York, New Jersey, and New Mexico on the line at the same time.
It's all
wow. Who's your guest on the line there?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Says he called 16 times.
He sounds like
times.
He's about as old as you are. Like, who has the older scrotum? You,
I
your
do.
Guest, or Don Geronimo?
Oh, wow. This is a marathon.
Well,
victory.
Well,
my God.
No. Those are...
The guy
those
have
are
a
words
button.
That aren't permitted on the radio anymore.
Oh, dear.
Hello.
They used to be.
Hello.
Yes.
How many, this is anybody
like
counting
hello
this?
To the listeners of the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God.
To the who?
The Don and Mike Show. They love you.
They do, huh?
Uh-huh.
They love us, eh? what is the Don and Mike Show?
Oh, dear.
I'm having a lot of trouble here this morning with the equipment.
This morning, like 2.
And you're on the radio.
2 a.m.
And their audience is composed of little brains like me and like you. And, you.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Well, I think I'm just going to try to play a CD. And, I don't know, maybe pack up and go live in the country or something.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Surrender, Dorothy.
Yeah. Wow. The Belcher.
I love fake boobs.
Oh, my
oftentimes
God.
You find them on strippers.
Oh, no, you did.
There's a new sheriff here in these offices. And his name is me.
From the Bob Barker Studio, come on down. Let's party.
Can you understand why I drink at night?
Yeah, Bob.
If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you. The only thing I can tell you is that when I speak, I'm very conscious about the audiences that are listening to my words.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And guess who else is here? Jimmy Stewart.
Hey, good.
Well, I'm Jimmy Stewart. To show, I'm showing you how to cut apples.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Hi, Joe.
This show is great. The show's gonna be fun, man.
call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. And now,
there he is,
ladies and gentlemen.
Ed.
Here's Don and Mike.
Hello. La, la, la. Hello. I think you're only hearing one voice right now. There are usually two voices. Don has the day off today. This is Mike along with Rob and Buzz.
Hi.
We are here for the duration to entertain you little brains because we also have little brains. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636 or 3636. I never say that. I never get a chance to say that. So,
if you say it individually, you have to roll the R on three.
Johnny brought me in a note before we get started with everything here. He said the Belcher guy called in the neighborhood of 16 times. Is that 16 times in a row?
In that one tape that we heard today, the first, the second one?
16 times.
Wow.
He called like 11 times, but he called like 16.
This is obviously, we can learn more about this guy each and every time we go. He called the guy 16 times. And he started with, you too are a douchebag.
He needs a hobby.
We have so much ground to cover today. It is a very special day. We have big news on the Don and Mike show about an addition to our lovely family.
All right.
Which is surprising me if it turns out. We're not 100% sure about this, but it may be that we are going to move back into the area of interns on the radio.
Oh, I thought someone was pregnant.
Now, one of the things I do...
Oh, we got an affiliate.
When I come in here, you know, Don takes the phone calls, presses the buttons. I sit over here, and normally during the course of a... 4-hour broadcast. You know, Donalda will be over where Rob is standing.
Doing that.
And I will be sitting here with my feet up.
Doing that.
So the very first thing whenever I come in here is I have to consider body position.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And I'm sitting here kind of hunched over because I've got this call screen in front of me where I have to take the phone calls.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's very awkward, but I let me just...
Not as hunched over as like a Larry King.
Yeah, but you know what I would really love to do? You know what I what I'd like
have
to have?
What do you need?
What I would love to have is a like a BlackBerry style device that I could just handheld almost like a remote control.
So you can recline and take calls.
Now this is don't get me wrong, this is high technology where you've got the phones in front of me.
Very nice.
But you know I have to lean over here.
Well,
and
yeah! It's on a swing arm. You could kick back and pull that screen toward you.
Now the other thing that happens is now when I'm going to take a phone call, I have to tell Rob so he can hit the sound. We're going to take a phone call right now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How was that?
Yeah, I just wanted to call up to you guys. I was the guy who had the evidence left on the counter, won the trip to Vegas.
Yeah. Well, that was okay. Quick. Did you go to Vegas yet? Are you back already?
No, I haven't gone. It's July 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Well, we congratulate you. You know, I found myself wanting to talk like that guy that does... Well, we congratulate you once again, you douchebag. I don't mean that, sir. I'm just kidding. What did you call for?
Yeah, why?
I called because to update you guys, my mom is still pissed at me.
Oh, that's good. Well, congratulations.
You earned your prize.
Hey, I love it.
Would there be anything else?
No, but I just wanted to let you guys know.
Okay, enjoy your weekend.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Don and Mike show. Hello, you're on the air, Adam. Adam, are you there? Do I have to hit it again?
One Adam 12.
Oh, there it is. All right. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I am just peachy, although I have a bit of a dilemma that I want to discuss. I've got many, you know, Rob, I'm a man of many dilemmas.
You are. You're complicated.
And I actually have a dilemma that I want to talk about to our conservative, I'm sorry, our liberal friend over here, Mr. Burbank,
because
I was a little pissed off when I got up this morning. But that's neither here nor there, Adam. What can we do for you?
Well, first, it's good to hear you guys again. I've been away at college, and I haven't heard you guys in a year and a half, so I'd like to say...
And what college would you be attending, Adam?
The University of Southern Indiana in Evansville, Indiana.
Now, is that... I'm not familiar with that school.
It's a very good Ivy League school.
It's in the...
It's the University of South Indianapolis, Southern Indiana. Where is it?
It's in Evansville, Indiana. It's basically in the middle of nowhere.
May I give you the college quiz? And this is not not academic at all. This is based on the college that you're attending.
Radio and television.
No, I didn't start. Adam, I didn't start the quiz yet.
I haven't heard the question yet.
I'm sorry, say again?
I didn't start the quiz yet.
Oh, okay.
Here's the quiz. Do you have a football team?
No, we do not have a football team.
Do you have a basketball team?
Yes, we do.
Are they rated in any particular division?
We're Division II.
Division two. All right, that's a ding. Yeah, I mean, that's Division two is fine.
Only some of the players wear glasses.
Do you have a law school on the campus?
We do not have a law school yet.
Adam, what is your college known for?
Our college is known for drinking a lot of beer, but it is a dry campus, so I really can't say
Hold
that.
Hold on, it's a not dry
even,
campus?
Not even good at drinking.
No, Rob, that's I'm it's sorry, Adam.
No, that's a bad one.
Not Adam, it says you have an idiot of the day story.
Oh, yeah.
That involved waking up and looking in the mirror this morning. I'm just curious about that. Yes, when are you going to graduate, Adam?
I'm sorry?
When are you going to graduate?
December 2008.
Oh, wonderful. All right,
I doubt that very seriously.
It's good to have goals.
Adam, you know, I can tell just in talking to you for this brief amount of time that you're probably a young man that can really spin a yarn. So what is your story?
Oh, well, I flew into to Dulles, and I took a connecting flight.
Where did you fly into?
Now, Rob, he is just getting started.
We have
here.
To set a groundwork.
Dulles Airport.
Dulles,
sounds like
Foster
that Bob
Dulles.
Barker intro last night. When Bob, now listen if you can. We're going to talk about Bob Barker and the tribute to Bob Barker, which I think was completely and totally inadequate for the great man of class, Bob Barker. But I noticed at the very beginning.
Bob Barker studio.
Right here.
Come on down.
Here we go.
Let's party.
Okay, right at the end, it was between let's and party
something
that
happened.
Perhaps it is time for...
They pushed him a little bit.
For Bob to say... They worked him to death. But Adam, I interrupt. What can I do for you? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was sitting in the airport at Louisville, 8 o'clock in the morning. I figured I had a flight, so I was sitting at the bar having a beer.
That's a good story.
Bye!
Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sorry we couldn't get to that, but we spent so much time with the college quiz.
But we agree. Guy was an idiot.
And we wish him all the best at the VCU of the Midwest.
You know, another thing is when I come in here, logistically,
you have to spin your head around.
I have to spin my head around to look at Buzz.
Literally 180 degrees. You have to look right to see Rob. And
I'm
going to
figure
me.
This out one day. You would think that, you know. You know, a man with more work ethic would actually take the time to come in here and actually set up a desk or set up something to actually really think about the logistics. I don't do that. I don't trouble myself with that type of stuff.
Would you like a desk?
I would like a desk. I would like
Joe?
No. Please.
Joe, we're going to need a desk.
Until the time, please keep Joe out of the studio, just temporarily. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Tiffany, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to...
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I couldn't be any better. Rob just hit the sound effect for the phone.
I was laughing because of
that. That's all right. No problem. Yes, Tiffany, go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you that I've listened for years, and I think you are a hilarious guy and a really talented mimic.
Thank
just
you.
Amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
And I waited till Don wasn't there because... As he knows, he sometimes scares.
Oh, stop it. You're not going to sit here when he's not here and say anything about him.
That's
God
right.
Damn it, Tiffany.
Our friend.
That divide and conquer crap doesn't work
Never
out
has.
There. How long have we been together? 21 years?
You guys have, 22 almost.
That's like somebody coming in and saying something about, you know, somebody that you're married to. So I don't hold to that, Rob. I don't cotton to that
well,
at all.
Tiffany's a hooker's name.
Tiffany, thank you.
And she can, if she
good.
Wants to divide and conquer in my marriage,
I feel
that's fine.
Like we are off to a good start. With that, the misogyny is just being chipped in at the right time. And now I understand it a little bit more. Yes, hello, Joe. You're on the Donna Mike Show. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful.
Excellent. Hey, I got a request. How
what?
About you do the entire show as Larry King today?
I never thought that would be a good idea. Audience would tire. People wouldn't like it. They wouldn't enjoy it. People would get tired of me. People would rebel. My bosses would be called. I would have protests. I'd be called into the carpet or onto the carpet or into the carpet.
Funny, that's funny.
And it wouldn't
How's
work.
How's your friend Ann Coulter and the faggot word? What?
The faggot word. That was just... Listen, we're going to take more phone calls, but I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I want to, right out of the chute, Buzz, I want to thank everybody that participated last night in the Marine auction.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
This got a couple of plugs on the air. I didn't talk about this a lot on the show because
How many Marines did you sell?
Sold. How much beefcake was I selling out there? This was different. I've done a lot of auctions. I think anybody, you've done them too, I'm sure.
A couple, you've done
them.
Many.
I've done them.
You've done them. Anybody in broadcasting, they ask you to do auctions.
Right.
And they can be for a variety of things. They can be for schools. They can be for, you know, at golf tournaments.
Sure.
They can do them. And they vary from being, you know, a little tedious to, you know, absolutely devastatingly difficult because you don't have anybody that wants to participate.
Yeah.
Depends on the crowd.
Oh,
it's
like
all
you're
the crowd.
Yeah,
the greatest auction I ever had was they asked me to do an auction after a golf tournament, and we had this guy, Pete Manos. I hope I got the name right. He was the Big Wig at Giant Food, the giant
that
grocery
sounds right.
store chain
to me,
here.
That sounds right.
And this guy was just this big bear of an executive, and he was incredible as far as the way he did the auction. I started this auction, and they had the usual crap. You know, they had
right.
some tiny little sports memorabilia. You had the stuff that was actually, you know, assigned this, assigned that. And it was pretty good stuff, but it wasn't the kind of stuff. And the audience was sitting there, you know, flatlining us.
Right.
It was written. Nobody wanted to participate. And this guy gets up, and it was all the executives from Giant Food that were sitting in the first three rows. They were tables of eight. And this guy, he's a big bear of a guy, mm-hmm. and he's walking around. And I'd start the auction. I said, all right, we have this signed hockey stick from the Washington Capitals. We're going to start the bidding for this at, and I would say, $50.
Right.
We'll start it at $50, this wonderful hockey stick. And a guy with in the front row with Pete, this big CEO, standing
right.
in the back, and would raise his hand with a pale look on his face. And
he
said, we've got $50. And Pete would stand in back and go, no! That's an opening bid of $200. And then he would walk from table to table.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding you. I mean, we're selling hockey sticks for $1,000. It was fantastic.
That's how it's done.
And then you get the ones that that don't work. But the best ones that I do, and I say this because I do them a lot, my favorite auctions to do mm-hmm. are date auctions.
Oh,
because,
sure.
you know,
sure.
you get people in there, and it's like a meat market.
Mm-hmm.
You're really selling meat.
The flesh trader.
But I'm a total flesh trader. But the thing that was different about this particular auction, I didn't even process this. I'd been asked to do this maybe a month and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, it's for the Purple Heart Foundation. It's a good organization, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Rob, I am a true patriot.
You know, the easiest way to get any of us to do anything is to have us agree to it like 2 months in advance.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what that means.
Because
sure.
you say yes to something and then.
Who knows if
sure.
we'll even be alive then.
Exactly. Then the date comes up and you're like,
what?
Whoa.
Huh? But no, it was, you know, I happen to be free, so I decided that you know that I'd roll over there and do this thing. And really, you know, the Purple Heart Foundation, it's for active duty people that have been you know hurt in the line of duty. It
right.
takes care of their families, and it goes to all the you know goes right to the guys that
right.
are doing this and the gals that are doing this. So it was very interesting for me to do this. What I realized when I arrived is that I'm auctioning off more guys than women. And it was a little bit of a nervous situation.
So you had men to auction off, and you had women to auction
this
off.
This was
the men
was
were straight.
Cool. I get there, and the Marines, you know, these are active duty.
Okay, I withdraw the question.
And they, yeah, please.
Thank you.
I had my own moment with that.
Oh, I bet.
These are active duty Marines,
yeah.
and they're all in the joint, and they're sitting there, and they have preceded my arrival. You know, we get the festivities rolling at about 8 o'clock, and it's going to go from 8 to 10.
Right.
And usually from that, you know, we can run that auction starting anywhere at 9 or 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Marines have been there for God knows how long, and
yeah.
they're all and you know,
did they come thirsty?
They're really tough to spot too.
Yeah,
but they're in their street clothes.
Uh-huh.
They're in their hanging out clothes. You know, their t-shirts and their jeans.
Yeah.
In the back room of the restaurant, we've got all the dress blues waiting to go, and they're going to come out in their dress blues. So I go in there and I see the Marines standing around, and my first mistake, because I don't really appear to be a military type, Rob. What?
I don't believe that.
When I come in and see these guys,
when I see you, I think Navy.
I walked in and I see the first guy and I decide that I'm going to you know show a little camaraderie, you know.
Yes.
And I have not had one cocktail at this time. I am just walking over to where the Marines are. I have not prepared properly,
right.
and I walk by one of these Marines and I do the, and you see six guys on two separate tables, two separate round tops, sitting on their bar stools, look up at me like, who the F is this?
That's right.
And I'm immediately, you know, I'm a 47-year-old man. I'm a grown man.
Right.
You know, I'm
yes,
twice the
are.
Age of these fellas.
That's
yes,
true.
You are.
And I am reduced to this sniffling. I'm just kidding, fellas, because they have...
You're not qualified.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
I didn't have time, Rob. I didn't have time to do it. They're interesting guys. They, you know, God love the Marine Corps. God love all of our fighting men and women. You know, they've put their asses on the line, and these are all active duty guys that are doing this. But there's something about looking a Marine in the eye and having to do this where I immediately realize that my game plan is going to be modified.
Yeah.
When I do a date auction, the most important thing is to get up there and say, you know, bust bust balls. That's,
sure.
that's what
yeah.
makes it funny.
Yeah,
you know, people are having
around.
Cocktails.
Sure.
You get some really studly guys uh-huh. and that you try to emasculate, and then you get the hot women that you, you know, make nice sexual comments about. It's
sure.
a,
yeah.
and a good time for the whole family.
Of course. Right.
So, as a matter of fact, the kids had to leave at 9:30. As
that's
we, as
a good
we,
idea.
Yes, well, that's the law, right. Rob. We obey the law. So, the one guy, they're all sitting around. They've got the Marine haircuts, all the, and they're very sure. easy to spot. And I say to the one guy, "Hey, you gonna keep that hat on for the whole auction?" And I go, and I think it sounded more like this: "You gonna keep that hat on for the whole auction?" And the looks at me, and I don't know if I am overstating this, but seriously, every single Marine that looked at me, they had that look.
That yeah. glare.
And early on, I began to perceive they had the look of professional killers.
Yeah, and yeah. they all have that look. I mean, they don't always use it.
I mean, these are kids. These are 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. Yeah. These are young, young guys. But the guy with the hat, I get the crickets first, and then all of a sudden the guy looks at me and he goes, "I'm a country boy. We like to wear our hats." And it's for the second time now. I've done the hoo-ha.
Yeah.
I've done that comment. And I'm like, all right, get the F away from the Marines before the auction starts.
They'll kill you.
You know, just get away from these guys. But they were all real cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out later that we're going to have some women that are going to be auctioned off also. So it was going to go boy, girl,
female
boy,
Marines,
girl.
Yeah.
So I get up on stage, and I'm going to start this auction. And it was a very interesting ceremony because we played the Marine Corps, is it the Marine Corps hymn?
It's the Marine
yeah.
hymn.
It's the Marine hymn?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the Marine hymn, and they all march out through the restaurant.
And that's
they,
from the halls of Montezuma.
Yeah, that's
right?
it. And they
yeah.
did a, I guess it was a shortened version of it. And they all march up onto the stage, and they're standing there. And apparently the rule is, I don't know anything about the Marine Corps. I never served in the Marines.
Right.
I was a private mercenary. Yeah, I did all of it. All my stuff was really, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
That's right.
He never served.
But I never served in the Marine Corps, never really wanted to do it, never could pass the physical.
Always was too heavy.
Never could climb the wall with Private Pyle. Never could do that. But they tell me, and I suppose this is true, and anybody that is listening that's in the Marine Corps might know this, that they have to stand at attention
right.
when the Marine hymn plays. So it's a very impressive deal. They march out there in their dress blues. In my opinion, now I'm thinking of you when I say this. Next to another uniform, simply the finest looking uniform I've ever seen.
In modern day,
somebody said it to me, Rob, not you, but a guy said it. You know, the only other uniform.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a word.
I'm not saying it either.
I'm not saying anything.
I know what you're thinking
though. But I'll say in modern day.
Those people did have a knack for uniforms.
And they made them so efficient.
Not as good looking as the Marine uniform,
yeah. though. So they come up, and then they get off the stage, and we go one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going swimmingly.
Yeah.
We raised, I think we raised over $3,000 for the United States Marine Corps.
Excellent.
And
Purple Heart.
My question, not for the Marine Corps. Yes, we weren't giving directly. We weren't buying tanks.
They can't get funding
like
from Congress, but they can get it at your place.
Exactly. They came in, and it was good. It was fun. But I would give the vital stats. Like, this is Lance Corporal from Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Please welcome. He likes hiking, biking, and then, you know, in the great game show host tradition, I would say, so, what do you bring to the date? Now, I hope I don't get bleeped for this, but the second Marine, I think, that I was auctioning off, looks at me and goes, well, now, is that bleepable or is that legal?
If you leave it there, you're fine.
Is that legal?
It's fine.
I won't go into great detail.
This is licorice.
However, it should be said that started a trend. And now I'm up here with, and I had a hungry group of about 8 women.
Sure.
Right off the stage, right. Which was great because the rest of the crowd kind of flatlining.
Mm.
You know, kind of just sitting there going, I don't
right.
want to sure. debate. You know, when you do the thing, and you know, that is the toughest thing. We've all done it where you goose the crowd.
Oh,
you know,
tough.
You're like, let's hear it. These are Marines,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, and God damn it, we're in a time of war.
America.
And I said, let's hear it for the Marines.
Yeah.
And you hear.
Oh,
you know,
bad.
You had to liven them up. It's because.
Wasn't even that good.
Not
right?
even that good.
Because I am a bar professional, and
yes,
I know this
you
business,
are.
I must tell you that what the situation is that these Marines were there early in the evening. Earlier in the evening is the time for food.
They got an early start.
Later in the evening is the time for festivities.
For
so
drink.
You have for drink. drink and mead. We will drink the grog of mead. But it was fantastic because the ladies to the right, all you need is one great table. If you have one great table of ladies that were bidding, and they would all say, you know, their size when they would get up. A couple of guys did. They didn't all say it. And then the guy, I think, that got one of the largest bids was the best line of the night. He said, I'd like to say I'm 3 inches. And then all of a sudden the hands started going up. It was a good time was had by $3,000. You know, we raised $3,000 for the Marine Corps. It was a really good time.
How were these ladies at this table? Were they cougary?
No, they were not cougary. When you say cougary, you're thinking about the fact that these ladies should be, you know, 50 plus, 45.
Yeah,
there was a smattering. I think these ladies were in their 20s and 30s.
No leopard print.
No leopard prints. Well, there might have been.
Maybe one.
Might have been close to a leopard print, but it was a lot of fun.
Good for you for doing that for the Marines.
And the only controversy came at the very end of the evening. I got a buddy.
When the measuring came out?
They were great. The Marines were, dress blues. I felt kind of patriotic. I felt felt like I'd served my country.
Well, you had done something.
That's as close as I'll get, Buzz. They all seemed happy. I got the hell out of there right after that because if you stay later, then you're not really prepared to come in and do the show the next day.
That's true.
This is true.
And I would just like to say that I was perhaps a half a beer away from we like to call it the point of no return.
Because I know how fun it can get after a certain hour.
You know what? I'll tell you, I'm in the right business outside of this business because, man, it sucks me up, Buzz.
Now, when you left.
It sucks me up.
Sucks the life out of you?
No, it sucks my ass in there.
Oh, it sucks
it's like
in.
A vortex. You know, it's just like
a vortex of fun.
I don't know whether.
Scary fun.
One of my 8 wives, I think, once said to me, you know, there was a particular watering hole that I used to go to through the show that I was on at the time, and then I would stay.
Right.
Shocker. Uh-huh. You guys all know this. I love to stay. I don't like to leave. And she said, that place really sucks you up. And it's true. I'm just one of those guys that doesn't want the party to end.
Now, when you did leave,
yes.
was any of it because you didn't want to be around the Marines because of your past?
Conscious decision. Conscious decision.
Because you had a few moments earlier when you probably would have left if you could.
I would have perhaps. I was afraid. I was a little bit afraid. There's one guy who got up on stage and I said, I don't know how this came up, but it did. He said it on microphone. And I said, why would you make a good date or something like that? And he said, well, I had a motorcycle and I was coming home one night and I'm on the highway and there's a guy that cuts me off and I gave him the one finger salute. And then I pulled alongside his car and I kicked his door in. And then, and then I'm like, well, that's mighty interesting.
What do I hear for a bid?
You know, I love
can't
our.
You promise that on the first date. Man.
I love our fighting men, but I've seen Full Metal Jacket. You know, I know what they go through. I know what they do with those guys.
It's a step above all the other branches of our service.
Well, you get one like that occasionally, but
now in this town, you're going to make people mad when you say that. You know, because you got Navy, you got Air Force, you got everybody, you got the Pentagon.
You
here,
don't
Rob.
Know what I meant by that. just a step above.
That's Rob Spiewak. Send the mail to Rob Spiewak about that. They are
Google me.
I had a guy that I went to school with that was a Marine, and he came back, and he was a completely different human being. He had transformed, but he had transformed a la private mile.
But overall, aren't these the guys you want defending? I mean, these are the guys you want doing the work.
You know, really, seriously, if you're going to be serious about it for a second, I mean, the fact is, you know, with all the crap that we're into, I mean, these are the guys that are trained to go over there and cover our ass. And I think, really, 99% of the time, I don't think anybody has any clue you know, what they're dealing with each and every day. And I really have a lot of respect for them. And on last night's little show that I did on stage, I had a lot of fear for them as well.
Sure, absolutely.
So the controversy comes at the end of the night. And this is, I didn't encourage this. This gentleman happens to be a friend of mine. And he happens to be.
Isn't everybody?
Well, this is one of my dear friends.
Okay.
And he will go by the name of George because that is his name. His name is George. And George had been wonderful during the date. I sounded like Bob Barker there. He'd been wonderful. And
George Michael.
Not that George.
Okay, I'm just guessing now.
So George was George is a gentleman who sells cars. Rob, you know that I travel in the fast lane.
Yes,
I am a member of the Jet Set.
Yes.
That's
the Gold
what
Club.
I do.
It's Mike O'Mara's Gold Club.
George had bid on a lot of different women, and they're all going on a big date. I think it's all on this big bus that they go on, and they're going to have a fantastic tour. They're going to have a tour of D.C., the monuments and all that.
He bought a busload of women?
No, he dated, like, I think maybe 3 or 4 women he bid on.
Wow.
You know, and we had maybe a total of eight. So he almost, you know, single-handedly gets his checkbook out and he donates. And he's like a regular at the joint. He's a great guy.
Yeah. They don't allow returns, do they?
He happens to be of slightly Arab extraction, you know, and he knows a lot of Marines, too, as his friends.
I would expect so.
And occasionally, you know, and of course, since we're close friends,
uh-huh.
all the Al-Qaeda jokes are floating around.
You don't want that.
And George is just salt of the earth, just as wonderful a guy. But there was a bit of a controversy. The very last Marine of the evening is being auctioned off, and George decided to bid on him.
Oh, no.
And he bought him. He won.
Oh, dear.
He won for $200. And after he won the date, he celebrated his victory by, I believe the word is ululating, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Where he did that.
Nice.
So it was a delightful evening, $3,000+ for the
Excellent.
Purple Heart Foundation. And I'm delighted to say that I was a part of it and I did not get killed. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're
heard
on the air.
George today, though?
George stayed when I left.
Okay, sure. good.
This is a very good chance that George is probably still there.
Best load of women in
America. Yes, you're on the Don and Mike Show. What can we do for you?
Yes, I just called to let you know I seen Kevin Bacon yesterday.
Now, hold on a second, sir. Is that a violation? I seen somebody?
No, that's not yet a violation, but unless you told Kevin Bacon something about Don and Mike, this
did you mention our names to Kevin Bacon?
He was walking a little too fast. I think he was trying to get out of there.
I'm sorry, that does not count. That is illegal. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
7 degrees.
Chris,
hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. What's going on?
Mike, I'm doing a live auction for Children's Theater of Annapolis this weekend, and I want to get some pointers from you. We have
all right. Hold on a second. All right, I'll give you some pointers. I'm full of them. I can do it for you. Where's the auction going to be? Is it going to be at a restaurant?
It's going to be in a church. Not in a church, but in a church.
I cannot. The only way you would need to. Well, actually, you can modify this. Now, normally, if you're going to do it in a in a hotel, in a ballroom, somewhere,
right.
you need access to alcohol.
We do. We have alcohol. It's a Guys and Dolls theme night. We're going to have gambling.
Is this a church gay auction that we're having here?
Gay. Sorry.
It's a Guys and Dolls theme. You mean like your auction? Is that they usually say that when you're auctioning off men and women, right?
No, Guys and Dolls meaning the theme from the show Guys and Dolls.
Trying to let you off.
Theater kids.
Yeah,
it's a fundraiser for Children's Theater of Annapolis.
Oh, Children's Theater of Annapolis.
The kids need makeup. Well,
and
that's
I'm,
why they
I'm
have this
going
fundraiser.
To be the DJ there, and they want me to auction to be the auctioneer.
Well, what you need, Chris, I'm going to stop you right here, because what you need that I'm not hearing, and I'm not trying to put you down, although it may sound like it, but you need a little more stage presence,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not hearing that right now. And the way to get that, if you don't have that, is to we call it liquid courage, Chris. How old a man are you, Chris?
I'm 43.
Oh, you're 43. So you sound very, very young. Are you? So you do this kind of on the side?
I do.
Excuse me. You do this on the side, a little auctioning?
I DJ on the side and I auction on the side. Yesterday.
What I do, really, and this is the truth. Of all the things I do, you need at least four. Strong drinks.
You could start auctioning at 3 as long as the 4th is on the way.
Yeah. Now, the only thing you're going to have problem, if you do that, if you get to the 4th or 5th, can you hold your liquor, Chris?
Yes, sir, I can.
You don't get really light. So you can, like, down a few beers and be okay? Because the only thing I have trouble with when I'm doing an auction, and I swear to God I have it at every auction I've ever done, is that I lose track of the money.
I do too,
and it's the hardest thing to do when you're an auctioneer.
It's tough,
and I usually like to have somebody standing close by. I didn't have anybody doing this the other night,
right?
Because you go $200, I got $250, $250, got $300, $300, I got $350, $350, I got a bit of $350 over here looking for that because you know that's where the alcohol. But that's what I would do. Just have a few pops, Chris, and you're going to be okay. All right?
43, and he spins records on the side. Good for Chris.
He's an amateur, Rob.
He is
not a pro. Look it up in the book. Hello, you're on the Don and Mike Show.
Celebrating Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls night. Encouraging young boys to pursue a career in the
Stop
theater.
Right there.
Rob Spiewak style. Rob Spiewak, who majored in theater.
I did not major in theater.
What was your extracurricular activity?
Thespian.
You make fun of him, but look how he turned out.
Yeah, here I am.
Hey, what are you doing with your phone?
Hello?
What are you doing?
Oh, nothing, guys. Sorry, I didn't know what's on.
How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you guys?
Are you a Marine?
I'm a former Marine, yes.
Former Marine. Okay,
let me
ask you something about, because I got some questions about this. I didn't want to ask any of the guys last night. They had a great time, incidentally. Yeah, no punches were thrown.
No casualties.
Know, there were no casualties. Good. You know, they have a. I think the Marines get some kind of a bad rap when they're out.
Well, the only time we fight each other is when we're not at war. Then we fight each other. But
okay.
If we're at war, then we fight them.
You know, it was. I'll tell you something. It was damn impressive to see those guys, you know, getting up on the stage and standing at attention. I enjoyed it. That red, white, and blue in me. It came to the forefront.
Uniform, yeah,
what?
Best looking uniform in the world.
It is. You got to say it. You know, somebody said Navy with the dress whites. That's pretty crisp looking, but no. I don't think you can argue about the best uniform in the military is
crisp.
the Marine dress blues. Those guys, a lot of those guys, when I'm looking at them, is it part of the Marine thing to you know, they could smile, they could be happy, but they kind of look pissed off the whole time I'm looking at them.
That's because of the high degree of discipline. They breed that in you from the very beginning. If the first couple of days of boot camp, they bring you all down to the same level, and then they bring you up together with such a high degree of integrity and discipline and esprit de corps, and you never lose it. I haven't lost it to this day, and I was in the Marine Corps from 71 to 75.
Well, welcome home. Thank you for all your service, and how about a hoorah?
Hoorah. That's why I call it.
What's the proper way to do that?
It's oorah. There's no H. Oorah.
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 Yeah, but you're saying it like you're mellow. Say it like you would really say it if you saw a Marine, you're really enthusiastic.
You want to hear a war cry? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Oorah.
He must be in an office. He's in an office.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Hey, also.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut him off. Oh, no. I cut the Marine off.
Now you've done it.
That's all right. It's a Marine that says oorah.
All right. We'll take some other phone calls, but I want to get to this. Last night, it has been a rather whirlwind evening because I get done doing the thing. I run up to the restaurant. I do this Marine auction. That finishes up at about 10 o'clock, and I bust ass to get home because I want to watch my Tivo.
Oh,
because,
sure.
You know, I love the Tivo. Mm-hmm. You know, you can actually record things electronically. Like
television program.
The time machine.
And it's late. I may have had one or two adult beverages.
What?
And, you know, I curl up into bed with
any
my...
Any more when you got home?
No. Rob, I'm not like you. I really can't. Rob, I swear to God.
Okay.
I can't.
You
if,
don't.
You know,
I mean, that startles me.
If I'm coming here... You know, to do this without my buddy,
and at that
without
point,
my
you were,
man.
You were planning on it at that point.
No, I don't even do that much anymore. I really don't because, I mean, that kind of, you know, that one day that I was in here when the NASCAR guy was at my house.
That's, oh, God.
No.
Yeah.
That was really a.
It was rough.
That was a bit of a wake up call for me, Robbie.
It was a puzzle.
Just a bit of a wake up call that maybe Mike should slow down.
Oh, my goodness, it's like a puzzle.
What is the answer to the puzzle?
Kind of a slippery slope that I was going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the older that you get, even if it's, you know, people can say, hey, it's a 3 o'clock wake-up call for you. You know, you got to hit the skids at the 3 o'clock and be ready to go. It was really, if you have a little too much evening, even on a weeknight, you really can't do that.
Mm-hmm. There
always will be the situation. I can't work like Buzz does in a perpetual state of being high.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
You should try it before you knock it.
Well, it allows you to always deny you ever had a hangover.
Or his other stage name, Peyote Buttons. So I get home and I'm you know a little tired after doing the auction. You know, just a little tipsy after the auction, and I turn
up,
on
right.
I turn on the Bob Barker thing. I really look. We have interviewed two, three times Bob Barker on this show.
At least
Bob Barker is. Without question, the classiest guy in the world. Yep. And I, you know, I saw the promos for this. I don't even watch The Price is Right as much as I used to, but is there anybody, you know, growing up in college, in the workforce that hasn't watched The Price is Right? I mean, it is an institution. It's never going to be the same without the guy. I mean, he is The Price is Right.
That's right.
The show has been on for a million years.
35 seasons.
Is it 35 seasons?
Because,
you know, it was funny because they showed much more of him gray than...
I think a lot of the tape is gone.
Really?
I do.
Is most of the episodes... Most of those years, has he spent the majority of his time gray or the majority of his time without the gray?
I think he went gray in like 88 or 9.
Yeah, it's just all these different incarnations of Bob. Well, he pays attention to those
things.
That's
amazing to know the year Bob grayed.
So they have I read the thing. I'm looking forward because I really want to see the spectacular. I like the final show that they were showing.
Right.
That's an episode of The Price is Right where they're going to give away better prizes.
Right.
Then they say, and join us the next night on Thursday night for the Bob Hope spectacular, the big spectacular.
Bob Barker,
yeah.
The Bob Hope. Same thing. Careful. Walter Cronkite, Bob Hope.
One deader than the other.
You got all the CBS shuffles out?
CBS. You know, it's funny. This is the week of CBS's tribute to the dead.
It is.
I mean, we got Walter Cronkite tonight, right?
They are really, really catering to a certain demographic, I think.
It's the CBS demographic.
Catch them before they die.
Not on the radio, thankfully.
That's right.
But I'm expecting that they're going to do a retrospective on his career. I said, this is going to be great. It's going to be Bob in a tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it is, this poor old guy, they're working his ass to the very last second.
Oh,
they're making him do another Price is Right show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He did four pricing games and a showcase.
It was BS.
It was.
I was completely disappointed. Now, do we have some tape from this?
We do.
I mean, this is...
That is sad.
It is sad. It's sad because you would think Bob Barker, uh-huh. and I'll say Bob Hope a million times before the show's
we'll
over.
Help you.
Bob Barker deserves... To sit in a chair
Amen.
And have people come out and say, Bob, this is how great your television career was.
That's right.
Thank you for all this. Instead, no, they're making him do the same goddamn thing he does all the time.
They got his whole history up to The Price is Right in 55 seconds.
Mm.
And here it is. I mean, this is...
Yeah. And all they did really was, oh, here are some other contestants jumping around.
Exactly.
Now, the whole truth or consequences thing, I know maybe there aren't a lot of highlights. I think the problem was, did you see that still picture of Bob with lots of celebrities? The only one I could see was Chuck Norris.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad. Well, very sad for Bob.
Truth or Consequences and The Price is Right, not celebrity-driven shows.
Right.
It's just going to be pictures of him with contestants.
Well, now, is this the very opening? Is this the opening?
This is the first part of his history as a broadcaster.
All right, let's listen to Bob.
I was asked the other day if there was something about Bob Barker that no one knows. And I thought, and I finally admitted...
I am a homosexual.
No.
Go ahead. All right.
Not with the fact that he's really pretty dull.
Now, hold on. When he says that, you know, and he's Mr. Humble.
Yeah.
He is the picture of humility. There's nobody that doesn't love Bob, but I really was hoping for something more there, too. I think you would find that I'm pretty, pretty dull. I would like to say, you know, people have asked me, what do you want to know about Bob? I'm going to open this drawer and show you this magnificent collection of Nazi memorabilia.
Leathers and dolls.
People don't realize. All right, go ahead.
My dream as a little boy was to pitch for the St. Louis Cardinals. But I didn't because of a total lack of talent. Well, I got my first job in radio when I was still in college.
Yeah.
My wife and I had been married. I'd been a naval aviator, and when I got my wings, we got married. I wrote local news and I did a sportscast. But finally, I did
Buzz.
Doing right now.
Oh, Buzz worked with him.
Buzz, you could actually go out and be a Bob Barker.
I can now tell you I'm the new host of The Price is Right.
You're the prettiest man on the show.
Thank you.
Actually go out and be Bob Barker.
He's going to have to learn all the pricing games.
It's not... The one thing I realize is they are obviously going to continue on with the show,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have John... Is it going to be John O'Hurley?
They've not confirmed or denied anything
officially,
yet.
No.
I think you go with a no-name. I think you go with a complete no-name, a guy that people don't know. I really think that's the way to go.
I think their smartest play is Dave Price.
Dave, you think that?
Yeah, I really do. He's good with people, and he's himself.
And he's kind of, I mean, he's known because he's the CBS weatherman, but I think he's under the radar enough on that
known.
Show.
He's not known because he's the CBS weatherman.
All right, I could hold on a second. Before we get more to Bob, I have a Marine sergeant on the line. Sergeant, how are you, Sergeant?
Hi, this is Sergeant Beauty calling. Buddha now. How come you didn't auction me last night?
I don't know. Nobody,
bye.
Nobody liked your Bombays.
You can bet the Bombays.
Now, this is a concerning call right here. Hello, Don and Mike Jones. Yes, you. What do you have to say? Yes.
That's right. I have to say you made a wise decision in leaving early and not sticking around. I'm a former Marine. I know that if you stuck around and had a couple more drinks, there would just be buzz today. And
Now, wait.
Now, what are you saying? That Mike would be killed or that he would get drunk under the table? What would happen?
What?
I'm a professional. I could answer the bell.
You could.
All right. I'm sorry. Where are you? What part of the world? No, that's Maine, isn't it? 207 is 207 Maine?
That is correct. My parents.
Because I believe today we are going to be using Japanese names.
Japanese names.
Oh. Buzz, would you like to play that game today since I normally do that?
Well, sure. I'll
you can
help you out with that.
If we get calls from the Northern California area.
But we're not going to issue one to Maine.
Oh, and I had an idea, too. I know I'm rambling all over the place.
No, no.
But I had an idea about later on in the show that we might try something a little different. If we have time. I didn't really have time for it today, but it's a special tribute to our Northern California listeners. I got a bad rap. I got a bad rap with them.
True.
You do?
Yeah, do they? You do too.
No, I don't think so.
They
no.
think we hate us, and yeah. I'm getting tired of that. And I think that the best way to take that away is for us to do something special for them. And I think really to take a segment and have a good afternoon Sacramento.
Mike O'Mara's Mending Fences.
It would be you got to mention the area. It's a good good afternoon Sacramento. Right. That's what it would be, and I really would tailor that segment. God damn it, I'm going to do it, and I've said God damn it too many times, but I'm going to do that.
Twice.
I think that's wonderful idea. And so, if I'm motivated, however, this will be later in the show if I decide to do this.
Oh, that's
and I will,
good. Let them think on it a while.
I will base my decision on how the Northern California calls go today on the show.
Aren't we near a full moon?
It's a new moon.
Just coming out of a new moon.
Is it a new moon, Johnny?
3 days.
Yeah, it's a new moon. So let's hear some more of the Bob Barker right now.
All right, let's finish up this cut here. Oh, I'm sorry. This is my favorite moment of the night when our boss came out.
Okay, yeah. And here's the deal. This is Bob's send-off. This is his tribute. This is his swan song.
Uh-huh.
This is a man that has diligently served the network for a million years.
Like a 50 years.
Well, 50 years in broadcasting, right? He's not been on CBS for the whole 50 years.
Okay, 35 for CBS, then.
And out comes Leslie Moonves.
He looked great.
He looked fantastic. He looked a little puffy is what he looked. I have to be very careful. I think he looked wonderful.
What surprised me is not an issue of puffiness or cufflinks or physical beauty. I was just shocked that he's not as tall as Bob Barker.
I was shocked at the end of that exchange that they didn't give each other like a tongue kiss. It was, it was truly amazing. But
they really did blow a big budget on this because, as you know, they did it on the Price is Right set.
Ladies and gentlemen, technically our boss, here he is with Bob Barker. Let's listen.
Now it is my genuine pleasure to introduce a gentleman who has been very supportive and considerate throughout my years on CBS. Please welcome the president and CEO of the CBS Corporation.
Would you ever hear those words coming out of our mouths?
Absolutely.
Perhaps we realize why we wallow here at the bottom of the show business ladder.
For a second, I thought it was Don introducing Michael Hughes.
I just can't imagine. Let me bring out a man singularly responsible for keeping me poor. Please.
It's all about respect and pretending to have it.
Well, he's a different animal. Bob gets away with it. You look back at those old clips of Bob, he's been the same dude, man.
Yeah.
He has been the guy. He has been Mr. Class forever. At least he's consistent. I don't think... Look, I know he's being phony schmaltzy here with Les Moonves, but I can accept it from Bob.
No one does it better.
That's right.
Let's listen to the other gentleman who we work for.
Mr. Leslie Moonves. Welcome.
Yeah, we only can hope, Rob. Fortunately, it's the Price is Right crowd. They are so whipped up into like a cocaine frenzy.
Oh, God, they must issue them
greed.
Like, they're bathing them in Red Bull.
They're just,
Bob! It's a clock. Scream!
So Leslie comes up.
Thank you, Bob. This is a great celebration, but at the same time, it's a rather sad day for everybody at CBS.
Bob, we're going to need you to pack up your office ASAP. John O'Hurley is moving in. Listen, I'm sorry, and please, for the love of God, don't take a fall. I don't want to play the workman's comp.
This security guard will walk you to your car.
Thanks so much, Bob. You are a sweetheart. He is sounding more and more like the Sopranos.
I think he sounds great.
Thanks, Buzz. Yes. Thanks for covering your ass.
You
I'm
bet.
All on my own.
All right. I love that man.
I've been at CBS for 12 years, and for the last 6 or 7 years, Bob and I would meet once a year. We'd meet more than that, but I'd say, Bob.
We would meet. Bob would show up. It would either be at his home or at mine. We would meet once a year. Bob and I both have similar hot tubs that we enjoyed. It was fantastic.
Please, one more year. And he'd always say yes, until this year when he said, I think this is it.
Oh, wow.
It was a very sad day for me.
Good reading.
It was a very sad day
for me. I think he might have been ad-libbing. He has, I have not seen him in quite some time, and I just want to say, you're scaring me, Buzz. He looks wonderful. Play the tape.
We knew this day.
He sounds like the Tuttle.
It was a nice detail.
And then Bob said, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Bob was really around the network a lot, and we noticed that he was starting to forget where his office was.
It was coming eventually, but it still doesn't make us feel any better.
Oh, I like that.
Don't go, Bob.
Don't go, Bob. You know, you want to throw a fast one on old LM?
Yeah.
What you do, Bob just says, I'm staying ass right here.
Now, please escort Mr. Moonves off the set.
Every morning I drive in.
And you know what? The thing about Bob, and then they go to the close-up of Bob, and all Bob is doing that thing where you say thank you, where you're not saying thank you,
right.
Where you can't hear it,
right.
Where he's just looking at it, he's going,
thank you. Mouthing.
I'm very pleased.
What you don't see is the person on stage waving a red blanket to get everyone excited.
Cheer, applause.
Thank you, idiots!
Bob.
He says, this is a wonderful reaction to your remarks.
You know what? Here's the deal. We've interviewed the guy. The guy is, I mean, look, I'm sure that they say he likes to go home. I'm a Bob Barker aficionado. I read everything about Bob.
Right.
But there's something about the guy that I really dig.
Sure.
They say that he goes home and he likes his tequila.
Oh, yeah.
He said that's really what's kept him going.
Can you understand why I drink at night?
There it is.
I mean, he loves mentioning it.
Well, I want to say, there's nothing I'd rather do than have a good drunk.
Listen to that.
Give him a chance. Maybe he's going to make me some fantastic offer before he sees.
All right. That's right there. That is the closest you will hear Mr. Barker get to busting anyone's balls.
Exactly.
That is Bob being funny.
But then he defuses it with, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. I love you.
I was only kidding. Anything you want, Bob.
Oh,
right. Now,
that's true.
But ladies and gentlemen, this is a generational thing, you know? All right? Anything you want. That's when, disc jockeys would have cell phones in their hands. Anything we want. Okay. Get the agent on the phone right now. Bob, just far too classy.
You know, every morning I drive into this lot.
Yeah.
And the first thing that greets
I drive into this lot with
all the wonderful fans that...
I have my very expensive sports car. Sometimes I'm actually driven. That's really what it's turning into, isn't it? Every morning when I drive out of the lot... I come out and Vinny and Charlie Pickles, I think, gets out of the front seat, lets me out of the car.
The car?
Yeah, the car. Yeah.
Like the one. And they're here for one reason, and that's because of you.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to give Bob a round of applause. Is there anything better on there, Rob? Is there anything good on there after that? Is there anything worthwhile? Because it really was, you know, a syrupy sweet.
Good.
They gave away some good swag. They gave away some very good prizes.
Biggest showcases I've ever seen.
I mean, one guy won three cars. I kind of got excited. I got kind of excited about that.
You mean, I think his name was Noah.
Noah.
Hasty Noah.
Did you see the last two people? Could they have gotten any more... Ivory girl,
no.
Fresh-faced guy that was up there.
It was great.
The only thing I would say is that they should have done a different kind of tribute. We're sitting there on the same prices, right?
I agree.
With everything, as we found out when we were behind the scenes at Television City in Hollywood, it's all plywood.
Cardboard and plywood.
That's all I was saying to Carla the whole time we're watching that. I said, that's cardboard and plywood.
What's cheesy in person?
Horribly cheesy in person.
I guarantee you that's the reason that show hasn't gone high def.
You with us when we did that? You were us, right?
Yeah, I've got pictures.
It was me, Rob, and Don, and we're back there. And did we spin the showcase show?
Yeah, but we had to do it upside down because it was in a closet. So we saw the back of it. So we were actually looking at upside down.
We went out, Don, myself, Rob, we went out and we're doing that CBS interview tour. And where they bring, you know, they parade all these
the new
people
fall
and
shows.
Do that. And, you know, the thrill for us, we just went backstage at the Bob Barker studio. It was so amazing because we're like little kids. This is on the TV. We all almost wet ourselves when we saw the Plinko board.
Oh, it was cool.
You walked up, you and I both walked up the Plinko steps. And it was, but they didn't have any chips,
right? No, the chips must have been in property.
We were pissed. But that, you know, you look and you see, hey, there's the Plinko board you see on TV. Then you go in back and it looks like an old shed.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff they use. It's plywood.
One thing I do remember is anytime there is a game with like a moving part, and I'm thinking we saw the Cliffhangers game with the guy that goes up the mountain. There's a spot behind it for the guy to stand that moves the guy.
It's
it could not be any more backwards.
Seriously, they have a guy with a handle. it just pushes it up. This is not high tech stuff.
No.
And you look at the prices, right? For since the 1970s, there has been no change in the look of the prices.
No, exactly none.
But let's play some more, just a little more, Bob.
This was, I think, the best moment last night is Adam
Sandler
came out.
Okay, then we'll move on after.
And
that.
I think it was a genuine surprise.
All right.
This is pretty good.
Adam Sandler, kiss me. I have finally achieved one. A big one. Look at it, Adam.
Call it happy.
Touch it. Grip it.
I am surprised.
Bob, thank you, everybody.
Now, wait a minute. What does Adam Sandler sound like? Let's move this. Thank you, everybody. Has Adam Sandler gotten just a little fatter than he was the last time, too?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Only fat and happy. He's making $30 million a movie.
Thank you, Bob.
I just want to tell you, I love Bob. I wrote him a poem.
Lay it on
you guys. Congratulations, Bob. You're the coolest.
Here's the poem he wrote.
This is good. This is a, you know, Olive of Hanukkah song.
Right.
This is a little Adam Sandler. I like this. And then we'll wrap it up after that. Ode to Bob Barker.
No peeking, Bob.
I won't peek.
Thank you. Bob Barker. Such a huge part of our lives. Bob Barker. The daytime lover of all men's wives. Bob Barker, 35 years of giving us new cars on the Price is Right. Bob Barker, the silver-haired devil who whooped my ass in a fight.
I like this.
Bob Barker will always have the memories of the happiness that you made. So in honor of your retirement, sir, Bob Barker, I went out and got myself spayed.
Well, that's it. That's the tribute
from the
to Bob
Barker studio. Come on down. Let's party.
That's the only thing at the very beginning.
Do you have a feeling?
The let's party sounded like the upper plate shifted.
From the Bob Barker studio. Come on down. All let's right. party.
That's Bob Barker. We love Bob. Yeah. We love you, Bob. Godspeed. I guess he tapes his last daytime episode on June 6th.
We'll have him on before he tapes his last episode.
Good. Oh, that'll be fantastic. We're definitely going to get him on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a great guy. I love Bob Barker. Okay, we got to take a break. We're up on a break right now. But coming up, we have a little bit more to discuss regarding our newest edition. I want to talk to John Norman about that. Also, I have been sitting on this for a long time.
Literally.
I've got a fish situation in my house that I would like to, I'd like to really get everybody's opinion on. I am new to the fish game,
you
the tropical
the
fish
you
game.
Have the ick?
I don't have the ick. Uh-huh. I got really a melee in my fish tank.
Oh,
I mean, it
them.
Is, they are going bat S and I do not know what to do. And it's, it involves, a wounding, carnage, the circle of life.
All right.
And a lot of fish poop on the bottom of the tank, which I know you clean it, but it is, well,
some
anyway,
people do.
I will get that. And then I want to hear Buzz about you and the collection agency.
Calling me at night.
Buzz.
Really?
Spending all his money on drugs.
Come on. Miles.
We'll be right back on the Don.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jim. Oh, hey, Dwight.
I am going to be your new boss. It's my greatest dream come true. Welcome to the hotel hell. Check-in time is now. Check-out time is never.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Got any rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
Can I have a late check-out?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell, and you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
The Don and Mike. Yeah, baby.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
From the Bob Barker studio, come on down. Let's party.
A credit to their race, Don and Mike.
Oh, me, oh, my, oh, Felix.
Dumbo! Bob Barker!
Rob?
Mike?
You don't know what we were talking about.
No, you
break.
Know what's happened is that, what? You know, Don is gone for a day and
that's
you
right.
guys have ganged up on
that's right. Oh. That's right. Don't feel paranoid.
I don't feel paranoid.
I just want to say DonandMikeWebsite.com is going to have something that's going to be so special.
We urge you to go and see it.
Johnny.
Am I allowed to at least see it if it goes on the internet?
Yes. Nice. Yes, you'll be able to see it later. We're going to do. We're going to show that a little bit later. Hey, John.
How's that project coming
John
along?
John Norman, producer extraordinaire.
Hi there.
I have to ask you, when did you, the material that we were just reviewing, the... photographic material. When did you acquire that?
I got that during the last break from a friend of ours.
Oh, it's fresh. Same friend that helps us out in a great way.
Yes, at the beginning of the show.
May I say to that friend, you have brought me personally and everybody on the show a great deal of joy.
Great joy.
But now in a different way, in a much different way.
This is so mysterious.
You have brought us truly, truly great joy. And it concerns Rob Spiewak. That is all I'm going to say at this moment.
That's all we can say.
It right? has everything to do with the Belcher, then.
It is. Wait, okay. Now, see, he's
yes
going to use
no.
that big brain. Not necessarily. How do you know it was the Belcher?
It is.
Why?
Because you said.
I did not.
It's like Scooby-Doo. All the clues are right in front of us.
I didn't say anything specifically.
You said the guy who helps us out at the beginning of the show.
Well, I just know, you know, Rob, I know you've got a lot of people that really love you out in Radio Land, and you're...
Oh, I don't know about that.
They are in for an amazing, amazing treat today. I think you're going to look at that. We got some stuff to talk about, but I want to take a phone call. This is...
Such mystery.
Such joy is what I'm saying.
Joy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What was that beeping sound in the background?
Oh, I'm in my car. I haven't put my seatbelt on yet.
Okay.
On.
How are you?
Good, good. Hey, hi, Rob. Hi, Buzz. Happy 420, Buzz.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Anybody else you want to say hi to?
Well, no. Actually, I wanted to talk about the part
well,
where...
Hey, Adam, I mean, I'm sitting here. You know, my best buddy's not here. Don's got the day off today, and you could at least say hi to me.
He did.
Hey,
did
right?
he say hi to me?
First.
I didn't hear that.
Maybe you were thinking about the pictures the Belcher sent.
Oh, see, you know what? You just can't. Are you the kind of kid, seriously, like on Christmas, you would just
Phil,
try to figure it out? You,
no, I never would.
You like to be in the know more than anybody else, don't you? You like to be plugged in.
No, what happened is you mocked me right out in the hall. No, don't come back here and see.
I didn't raise
we're
my hand up in the
air. Back room.
I didn't raise
don't want
my
Rob
hand.
To have any math.
I did not. This is just a special moment. This is the. You are going to. I will say this.
I,
baby chimpanzees, no. You actually will probably, it will probably bring you the same amount
I'm
of joy
sure
that
will.
It brought me.
I'm sure it will.
Okay.
But.
Yes, Brian, what? What do you want?
Mike, what about the part where Adam Sandler started reading his poem to Bob Barker?
Yeah, we just played that.
I felt like he was trying to make fun of him in a way, and
no,
I don't think
no.
so. At all.
Absolutely not.
I thought
no. Adam Sandler, I mean, is probably just like everybody his age. He's
love
a game
him.
Show junkie, and he loved him. I mean,
yeah.
that, he look what he did for Bob's career. I mean, that was incredible
huge.
When they had Happy Gilmore.
Oh,
it was
definitely,
it was
definitely.
Amazing.
And, you know, you're right. You're right. That's
well, that's good.
Adam,
I'm
glad
you think I'm right. Thank you.
Solved.
That's it. You know, that's
there
the
you
way you move on when you're right. That's the way it goes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Hey, good. I'm from Sacramento. My name is Mickey.
Well, that's what your name is currently. We're going to see Mr. Burbank is preparing some names if it
that's
doesn't
right.
go quite well. But go ahead,
oh,
sir. Go ahead.
I think it'll go swimmingly.
You do?
I do.
We'll be the judges of that.
Okay. Well, no. I would like to personally invite you to come to Sacramento and be my guest
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
allow me to... give you a grand tour of the city. No strip malls, none of the blight that you guys seem to think of.
What do you mean blight? We don't talk about blight. We talk about the life's blood of the city, which is the people.
That's very nice,
that
Kiko, that you made an introduction like that. Mike, he's asking a legitimate question,
though. There are
though.
Pockets of people that are undesirable in every city.
All right, Kiko,
agree?
Hold on. Kiko, I have a question
he's
for
inviting you.
You
to Sacramento.
Yes.
What do you have anything specifically in mind for our tour of Sacramento that you know would be particularly... we've been to Sacramento, what, twice?
I've been there more times
yeah.
than you.
You've been there three times, right?
Yes, I was the
are you eating something?
I just had something work loose from my tooth.
What? You look like the lady. You look like the lady on CSI. Is it a razor blade?
No, I think it's a piece of grain from the bread.
Oh God, put it away!
Mm. Well, what am I supposed to do? I chew on it. You get mad.
Get it out. I'm not mad.
I threw it away.
I noticed it.
I know.
I want to talk about CSI too, which I know I've been away from that party. I got back to that party last night. Jesus, I mean. Oh, my God.
Pretty good, huh?
All right, now tell me what's going to be on our tour.
Well, the first thing will be the Sleep Train Amphitheater. And I'm just kidding, Mike, of course.
Well, hold on a second. See, this is a Sacramento. Kiko?
Kiko,
this is typical. That's it. You're gone, Kiko. I was really looking forward to that because I was going to do the whole routine that Buzz wanted me to do, which was, a tour out to Sacramento. You know something that really sounds? No.
Of course not, because from Sacramento, he can't help but do it wrong. He can drive a train backwards
to get that right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Get a boy.
Get a boy. How you doing?
Mike.
Get a boy.
Sure.
Always how's like Sacramento.
Doing?
What?
But how's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing great. What can we do for you?
Mike, we love you, man, out here in Sacramento. Don't worry about it. Rob, you're good, too, buddy. Don't worry.
Is that it?
You can get Ben.
Screener told him to
Mike,
say
Mike, you're
that.
Doing a great job. What, keep up the good work.
Got a name for him, Buzz? I'm putting the pressure on Buzz, though.
Hiroshi? No, thank you.
Hiroshi. That was Hiroshi calling from Sacramento.
And you're not giving their last name.
Hiroshi Matsumoto.
Dumas.
Hiroshi and Kiko Dumas.
The Dumas brothers.
Joining his brothers. Fish stories. This is this is something I have been chomping to talk about for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this for the purposes of sharing with you the new additions to my family, and also to tell you that, when you have small children and you are a part-time dad, and even though I will be taking my kids to Disney in the near future, I resent the term Disney dad.
That's coming to vogue.
I am not a Disney dad. All right.
Can you define that so we're all on the same page?
Yeah, it's real easy, and it's offensive. It's totally offensive, you douchebag. It's offensive. Mike has his daughters only part-time, and he's struggling to build a relationship. No.
Yeah, we empathize with Mike.
Look, I have a great time with my daughters. I mean, we could, do homework and hang out in the house, and they would not. It'd be fine. We have, I like to go to places with them and do fun stuff because I enjoy it.
Disney dads just buy gifts and keep trips and those kinds of things on kids, but don't spend any quality time with them.
Buzz, God bless you.
Whereas you spend quality time with your kids, therefore you're not a Disney dad.
Buzz, I know you are trying to help me, but as soon as you said that, what came to mind?
One.
The pony.
How is chocolate?
It's Hershey.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
you know some ass hat is out there right now that's going to be like, hey, Hershey, you bought the kids a pony.
No, but you, in addition to that, you do spend quality time with them, and therefore you're not a Disney dad.
Thank you.
That's what I'm
saying.
Thank you,
Buzz.
That's what I'm talking
about. I appreciate that, but I did, when I was planning this next little break we have coming up in a few months, we're going to... In 8 months for our next three-day
vacation. In November.
I'm going to be doing it. And that seems to be a very popular term now, nowadays, mm-hmm. Disney dads, but I'm not like that. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how we got on that subject in the first place. I lost my
train of thought. The trip to Sacramento? I don't know.
No, I don't know. It doesn't matter. What
the
I want to talk about is, well,
the
fish. The fish, yes.
For the kids, the fish.
They were for the children.
Fish.
We go to the fish store.
Sure.
Always like them.
Right.
Now, let me explain. My daughters... love pets like any kids their age. Mm-hmm. They really enjoy that. Carla's got this little dog, Beluga, mm-hmm. the little pug.
Sometimes calls.
And he sometimes calls the show. Not necessarily funny on Make Us Laugh.
No.
Would appreciate if Beluga didn't call during Make Us Laugh. He can call any other time, though.
But not today.
But not today, because he called yesterday.
Right.
And that is forbidden. So I get to the pet store, and I said, we had a big dog that was too big for the house, and we couldn't take care of it properly, so we found a wonderful home for this great Pyrenees that I had, Poppy, that I named after the Red Sox player, and that didn't work out, and the kids were kind of bummed out, and I said, the last thing I want to do is bring another...
four-legged animal.
Yes, or anything fur. I don't... But I said, why not fish? I assume that fish would not be, a major, major issue.
No
fur. They don't shed.
No legs.
Yeah, they're cool. And so I go out. I get the whole schmear.
Right.
I buy the 48-gallon tank.
Okay.
I get the filter. I get the gravel. This is just for anybody that's ever done
this. A
little
castle?
I'll tell you in a second. If you go out there and you don't realize, the first thing, if you've never had tropical fish, mm-hmm. is that you realize this is a major financial endeavor. I thought, I really seriously think, it's goldfish in a bowl.
No. Science. It's chemicals and oxygen and
if it's
like
salt water, it's even more. I have fresh water.
pH.
That's the first disappointment too, because I walk in and I say, that's a pretty one.
Well,
that's a saltwater fish. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, I got the I've got some Mortons at the house. Mm. I'll pour it into the water. it'll be salt.
The magic chemist.
No, there's a very intricate procedure that you go through with fish. You have to do this. So what I do is I get the whole thing for freshwater fish.
Okay.
And what you notice is a lot of the freshwater fish are duller.
Blander.
In nature, which is a drag, but I'm told the magic word, easier to take care of a freshwater fish. So the first fish I get are, this is not gay, but all my fish have male names. My first two fish are called Frankie and Johnny,
mm-hmm.
and they are called
gay.
You know that song, Frankie and Johnny were lovers.
Yeah, Lordy, how they could love.
Because the guy at the pet store says, these are fish that have been together. And he said, and they will mate. And I said,
they are gay.
And here is the video.
No, they're a man and woman, I guess. One's bigger, one's littler. I think that the little one is... is actually a female and
Frankie
the large
short for Francis.
So these are the first two fish I get.
Mm-hmm.
Get these fish. They are, they're nice enough fish. They swim around. Immediately, I buy one of these little squirrels.
They swim around.
You're mocking me.
No, I'm just laughing at the thought of it's good because the fish do swim.
Of course they swim.
That's right.
But what I wanted to do was I wanted to see them swim around.
Okay.
And I buy a little plastic coral thing that is has a cave in it, a little cave. I said, this will be nice, though.
They love those.
I put this thing in the... Have you had fish?
Oh, yeah, before, sure.
You don't have fish?
Not currently.
That's a hippie thing.
No, they all died. Yeah, I used to have them.
You used to have fish?
Yeah.
I raised some for food.
Did you have fish, like, back when you had the big hair? Is that when you
had
fish?
I did. And actually, when I moved from town to town, which is what you have to do in radio, we always put them in, like, a big styrofoam cooler and moved them to the next town.
So you'd actually travel with your fish?
Yeah.
Well, you might be able to offer some insight.
I'll try. See what I can do.
This is new to me. And new to me, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Really, damn new to me, these tropical fish. I get these
fresh
two,
water.
Frankie and Johnny, and they're the first two ones that I get, 48-gallon tank. And a piece of coral, fake coral plastic that's got a cave in it.
Right.
I buy this thing. I buy a German battleship. You'd like this. I don't know if it's German.
Emblems?
It's a destroyer. It's a little plastic destroyer.
Most of them are.
I buy the Bismarck.
I bought the Lusitania.
I have little war games. I get matches, and I light them on fire. I get this little destroyer, and I get a skull, like a pirate skull that's got a little cave in it, too.
Right.
And then I buy a little pink rock that sits down at the bottom. I buy Jesus. And the guy is like, I'm the ultimate rube, because I think the guy sees me coming.
Right.
And he says, I know we're up on a break here, but let me finish this quickly. I buy... there's so much to go with this. It is really, I buy the heater, which costs money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy a heater.
Why?
Then you have
for freshwater fish?
Yes, you have to buy a heater. I mean, you can leave it at room temperature, but if you have like a real cold morning.
You're gambling. Yeah.
You're gambling, okay. They're going to die. You got to keep it consistent. I keep it.
Floating in the light.
I keep it a consistent 130 degrees.
They love that.
And they are delicious. No, I keep it at 75 degrees.
When they turn pink, they're done.
As far as fish death does come into this.
Mm-hmm.
So Frankie and Johnny go into the cave, did not come out from the cave.
Uh-oh.
Pissing me off. I sprinkle the fish food on top. They barely come out to even have a...
Uh-oh.
What is the sex music?
Well, because
that's what... Yeah, well, I find that out later.
Sure.
Frankie and Johnny go into the cave.
Get her done.
It's like a day later. I mean, I've just gotten these fish, and there are these little things swimming all over the place.
Oh, they've actually...
Yes.
Wow.
They breed, and they're baby fish, and it's kind of exciting. And maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks later, all the fish are gone.
All the,
all the little babies are gone, and it's like I'm thinking, cannibalism!
Oh, yeah.
That they're all eating that. So, whatever. But the fact is... These fish are in this cave. I never see them. It is boring. It's ridiculous. I go out and I buy, and I wrote it down so I'd remember. Let me see. I got Frankie, Johnny, Rex, Frankie, Johnny, and Lenny. Lenny is a similar, like, cichlid fish, okay, but he's a little bit bigger, and he's actually a little bit more colorful.
Lenny the fish.
And then I buy Rex. Now, Rex, I'm told, I get because I got algae on the inside of the tank.
Oh, and he's one of those.
And Rex is one of those sucker fishes that you know, sucks his face right to the side and grows amazingly. He's grown a lot, and he sucks all the algae out.
He cleans the tank.
I know this is boring, but I'm getting to a point here. I get Tony. Now, Tony is a fish. Tony is the badass, named after Tony Soprano. And I get Tony because Tony is, looks
fish
like...
you too. It's a peyote again.
I get Tony because he's like beautiful. He's like, looks kind of like a piranha.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I said, look, these two little Frankie and Johnny are in the cave all the time. I got this other similar kind of fish.
Cleaning
that
fish.
Looks kind of, I got the cleaning fish and then I've got Lenny. And Tony will shake things up a little
bit. Sure.
Flash forward, I'm taking care of the fish. This is, you know, gone on. I've had the fish for months.
Okay.
I haven't talked about this. I've had the fish for months. We have serious, serious issues now. Carla calls me, not yesterday, but the day before, and says that Lenny, the other cichlid, is dead. And she calls me. She called me during the show the other day, remember? And she said, Lenny's actually deceased. He's dead. I said, well, we'll fish him out and, like, flush him down the toilet.
Right.
Do a, you know, give him a burial at sea. What are you supposed to do? Meantime... Since the other litter of little baby fishes died, they had another one that all got eaten by whoever.
Right.
And now they've had a third. Now, the third one, they have thrived.
Well, they're full now.
It's like they got it. They got, well, they don't mate that quickly. This is like about a, you know,
yeah, okay,
every month
they kind of do this. And we've got all these, and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
How big is this tank? Like
48 gallons.
But, I mean, put that into like perspective. Is it like
Okay, and for radio? It's
yeah.
about this big.
No, it's just like about...
Now we know.
About like 2.5 feet.
It's about the size of the studio. No,
okay.
It's... what it is the size of... it's bigger than a breadbasket.
Okay.
How do I describe how big it is?
Is it like a standard size? Is it a super size
standard,
aquarium?
It's no, it's a standard size big tank. It's not like a little fishbowl.
All right.
It's a big-ass tank.
Right.
So I've got this thing sitting there. Now we have an issue. Calls me back. She says the fish is not dead, but there's something very, very wrong on his side. It looks like he is...
Oh,
this is a big fish. It looks like he has been bitten.
Is it?
Like he's been in a fight.
Like he's been in a fight or something like that. But this is a mellow fish. This isn't like Tony that's attacking all the other fish.
Fish and you two.
That's what he is.
It's a peyote again.
He looks like a piranha. And now I've got one fish that's kind of swimming around like this. And on the side, he does have like this kind of gaping hole on the side. And meanwhile, Tony now... is swimming back and forth in the tank. I'm feeding them. None of them look like they're wanting to eat.
Eating each other.
I think I've got the water balance right. And you got the fish that are going, I mean, they're going so crazy. They're fighting all the time. Meanwhile, I think the baby population is stabilized. And I think what it is Frankie and Johnny are actually attacking Big Lenny. And that's it. That's
the
problem.
So he doesn't eat the fish?
Lenny, I have not witnessed, and I've stayed in front of that tank. I take my peyote, and I stand in front of the tank.
And then you say, I get it.
I stand in front of the tank, and I try to look at Tony and see if he's going to... This is the first day, this morning, before I came to work, this is the very first day that it looked to me as though Tony is, like, all he's thinking about is trying to pick off these fish. And I'm talking, they're almost microscopic at the beginning.
Sure.
Now they have gotten to be... How you're a math person.
Like about, that's about a half inch.
Sorry, about a carp.
They're half an inch. Lenny is the algae cleaner. He sucks the side of the tank.
So he doesn't eat the fish.
He doesn't do dick. He just sits there at the bank of the tank and he goes up and down.
Right.
And he's very active at night. But he's gotten huge. I don't know what he eats. I think he eats the other fish poop. But what my question is, I've got one that has a hole in the side, and I am not sure whether this particular fish has a hole because he's being attacked by the little mommy and daddy, Frankie and Johnny, or whether there's some sort of disease that's happening.
Could be either one. Sounds like a wound.
Yeah,
is it a wound?
That's a guess. I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's red. You can see where he's getting nailed.
I think it's leprosy.
But it's nasty in there. The tank is constantly now. There's warfare in there. It's going. I don't know if the little babies are going
to... You couldn't be happier, though.
Well, it's a show.
You're overpopulated. You're overpopulated.
I am.
It sounds to me like you're overpopulated.
No, but
that's why it's so dirty, and that's why you've got all this.
It's not dirty. The water's actually pretty clean.
Oh, I thought you said it was a mess in there.
It's a mess with, well, there's a little poop on the bottom.
Well,
I sucked the poop out. How many times are you supposed to change the gravel in it?
You haven't changed the gravel?
Not since I bought the tank.
You shouldn't have to. I don't think.
Change the water.
I have a great sucker
great filter.
I've got a thing that resembles the pump that men use for, enlargement. and I've got that. That's what you
are
stuff
you
the
sure
water.
Are you sure that you got the right pump?
I've got the perfect pump.
Okay.
This sucks this stuff up. And hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Animal lover Mr. John Normand has made his way into the studio.
Yeah, you don't have to change the gravel. You use that little suction thing to suck all the poop out of the bottom.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that fairly regularly. Then you replace the water. You put all the chemicals in there.
It sounds like you may have. I used to have cichlids back in the day, and they are aggressive fish, and they will go after and eat each other. You may have a couple incompatible ones in there, and that's why you're having problems.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. See your pet store. What do I need, a fish psychologist?
No, just
now?
See your pet store owner, and he'll advise you as to which fish go
Dr.
together.
Phil will help.
I'd like to get one more fish that would be like the arbiter, the general counsel. You
get
know,
a nice big bluefish.
Get a bluefish. I'd like to get just a small 30-pound bluefish tuna.
One fish, two
fish. See how they'll handle that there, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, God, where are we? Anyway, we've got 50s tapes. Joe has collected tapes for years, and he loves to bring them in for show and tell. These tapes, now, what are we getting, Rob? This is going to be 50s tapes that go back to the late 1950s where they describe the difference between men and women. Is that
psychological differences between the sexes.
And coming up later on the broadcast, because John Normand said, well, Don's not going to be here today, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to deliver Mike the finest interview known to mankind.
What do we got?
Is it a celebrity buzz?
I don't believe it
not
is.
Not quite, no. Is it somebody from sports or broadcasting?
I don't know. Is it?
No, it is not.
Is
no.
it a stunt woman?
It is not a stunt woman, but it's goddamn close. We're going to see what happens, because later in the broadcast today, I will be...
Well, you're not going to reveal it.
I will be interviewing a man who does things with baby donkeys. Yeah,
can we talk about that?
Is this the greatest effing show in the history of mankind? You bet it is. Are you bringing the information in? Let me see. I'm going to read it quietly to myself before
donkeys.
I share it with you.
Donkeys, yes, baby donkeys. I'm disturbed. It doesn't sound right.
Well, miniature. They're not babies. They're miniatures.
Oh, well, that's entirely different. Have your way with them, then.
All I know is this has the potential to be one of the most boring interviews in the history of mankind. But you know what?
Or the greatest.
I'm going to make it sing. And we will be back with 50s tapes right after this on the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My God, you're in Shrek 3, for the love of God.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Do you want to show the clip, or do you don't want to
show it? No, you don't have to.
Okay, you're not going to show the clip.
No, but I do play... well, I haven't even seen it. I don't know. What is it?
It's a cartoon, for God's sake.
He wants to see the clip.
You know, usually when your guests come on and they're involved in a movie, mm-hmm. you take the time to see the movie before you're interviewing them.
My
Excuse
time.
Me, did you see the movie?
No. It's the third one, and you're in it. How good can it be?
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
Oh, look out!
A different breed of cat. The Don and Mike Show.
Scintillating interview about to come up on the Don and Mike Show. We want to clear up some business very briefly before we do that and take one call here from this gentleman, and maybe I can tie this whole fish thing into one bow. Yes, Rob, you're on the Don and Mike Show. Not our Rob,
I'm
the
right
other
here,
Rob.
Mike.
No, you're right there.
You're right.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. You're doing a great job. We miss Don, but you're doing a great job.
Don has the day off today, and we miss him, too.
The fish problem you have is one that I found out late at night when I went to get something out of the fridge. That sucking fish that sucks the algae out of your tank and keeps it clean, after it cleans the tank, if it doesn't have any algae to suck, it starts sucking on the fish, and it'll destroy your fish.
So are you telling me that Lenny might be sucking Lex?
Exactly. You need to get the tablets when it comes out of algae to suck out of your tank. You need to get algae tablets or it's going to keep happening.
I believe him because it sounds like he's calling from the bottom of an aquarium.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't think he was calling from Northern California, so have those Japanese names ready.
They're on
the All right, well, the subject is still animals. I wonder if the fish are sucking on each other. That's a totally different
I'd
dynamic.
I'd like to see that.
Not sure how that's going to work. All right, where is the information for that? All right, here we go. A miniature donkey from Cass County.
Where?
In Indiana. Mama Cass County, Rob, will make a cross-country trip to try to cheer up soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, that's nice.
Jerry Cosgray, 72, plans to drive from, I love these names, Nicodemus. It's Nicodemus is the name of the miniature dog. I don't
One
care.
Of them.
This is a donkey, man. Let's talk to Jerry Cosgray of
Jerry.
Royal Center, Indiana. Jerry, 72 years young. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
You have miniature donkeys, right, Jerry?
That's correct.
Jerry, let me introduce you to my friends here. This is Buzz Burbank.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi. And Rob Spiewak right over here.
How do you do?
I do.
Great. Jerry, you've got miniature donkeys, do you?
Yes, we got a few.
How many do you have, Jerry?
I think there's about 75 or 6 running around here.
And how long have you been raising these miniature donkeys?
We got our first ones in 91.
Mm-hmm. Why?
And wished I'd had them before.
Slow down, Ted Koppel.
I just want to know.
We're not going to do a hard... This is not hard-hitting, Buzz.
America wants to know why a man has miniature donkeys.
That's a good question there. Jerry, why do you have miniature donkeys?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can answer that other than I never had an animal that has as much love to offer as they do.
Explain.
Yes, please, in detail.
They will give you more love than you can ever return to them.
Wow.
They're,
are you, Jerry, I, before we talk about the good work that you're doing with your miniature donkeys, I'm very curious. They give more love? Are you close to your miniature donkeys?
Oh, yes. Nicodemus is best friend ever had.
Nicodemus, explain that name to me. What is what kind of name is Nicodemus?
Nicodemus was named when I bought him,
mm-hmm.
And I understand that that was a black god, maybe, or something in the Bible. And
black meaning like
Nicodemus
evil, right?
As siring foals, uh-huh. and everything out of him does uh-huh. carry a biblical or Hebrew name.
I see. All right, so you have what the total number of donkeys in your miniature donkey stable is? What once again?
Beg pardon?
What is your total number of donkeys? How many do you have?
How
there?
Many donkeys?
We've Jerry? Got about 75 or 76 right
75.
Now.
75.
Now, Jerry, I might be wrong, but I read in the paper that a miniature donkey, you can fit 2 or 3 in a jar. Is that true?
Well, we're...
Jerry, can you hold on just a second, please?
Hold on, Jerry.
I'm going to put you on hold for just 1 second. You got him on?
I didn't expect that would hit a home run like
you,
that.
You got him on hold for a second?
He is on hold.
Let me just do this for a second. Thank you. Let's go back to him.
Back to him now?
Yes. All right, Jerry, now it says here you're doing some good works with the donkeys. You take the donkeys to hospitals. How is that working out for you?
It works well. Mm-hmm. We get permission before we go.
How many can you get on an elevator?
Well, we only take Nicodemus to the hospital nurse.
Why only Nicodemus? What makes Nicodemus so special? Would it be your personal special relationship with Nicodemus?
I guess that's it. Him and I are bonded awfully close.
Tell us about that. How are you bonded? I mean, I'm fascinated with when men have a special relationship with animals.
When I bought him. They told me, you know, that if it worked with him, he might get pretty decent in different things. And so I spent a lot of time with Nicodemus when I got him driving and raining and what have you. And,
sure, driving and raining.
And we just...
Where does he ride when you're taking him cross country?
Well, it depends. If I only take him, I a lot of times just jumping the back into the pickup, I have a topper on it, and he goes.
So he basically rides up with you sometimes.
No.
Do you ever let him sit in the front seat?
No, he hasn't got to do that yet.
Right. And
wrestle you so freaking bad.
But if I
bad.
Take more than one, I generally take. I have a stock trailer. I put him in, and we go.
You have a stock trailer.
We're going to take a shower, both of us.
but I'm going to take Nicodemus and his two sons out
there. He's a male.
He is a male.
He's a male.
Feel really good.
He is
for
an
you,
intact
huh?
male.
Nicodemus is a male. Now,
my God.
Do they have any besides taking them out and taking them to hospitals and showing them around? Is there any? What do miniature donkeys do? They obviously can't take people like into the Grand Canyon.
Not a beast of burden.
Do they fetch?
Well, we do a lot of driving.
Thinking you might want to have sex with me?
We go. I used to go to a lot of shows. I went to about 20 shows a year, used to, but this gas is putting a stop to that. And
donkey shows?
Yeah, I saw one in Mexico once.
Have you ever been to any of the donkey shows in Mexico?
No.
Jerry?
No. And I would love to make wild, passionate love to you.
That is, those are actually full-size donkeys that we have.
Right.
Yeah.
And how?
The first question that comes to mind, Jerry, when you're hauling all these donkeys to hospitals, you know, it is a donkey. It is not a dog. Is there any outside chance that these animals are potty trained?
Well, occasionally Nicodemus will have an accident, but not very often.
I think now, you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Do you diaper them?
Does. Do they wear diapers?
No.
The donkeys?
No.
Donkey
no.
Do you refer, for a miniature donkey, is that referred to, and I mean this, Jerry, only in the nicest possible way, as an ass? Do you call it an ass? Like donkeys in history, you know, or jackass, they're called, is it a miniature ass?
I guess that's what you'd call it.
Yeah, have you ever
been with an old guy before?
Jeanette is really the male, and a Jeanette is a female.
Oh, tell me about Jeanette. What do you dress her up as?
What do I do with her?
Yeah, well, yeah, tell me what you do with her, Jerry.
We raise them. We breed her.
Does she raise you?
Raise baby.
You ever dress them up? Put them in funny hats?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
Do you have a website with pictures or anything?
Well, we've have a ton of pictures.
I'll bet. Oh, it says here it's just not hospitals. You go to elementary schools too.
Yeah, we go to schools. We have a lot of preschoolers that come by. And
how about and you say you go to rehab centers too?
Yes.
How do the recovering drug addicts feel about the baby the miniature donkeys?
I will go till you tell me to stop.
With druggies, but
good.
Most of the time we're seeing people who are older.
Can I quote you here, Jerry? It says animals represent something that's non-threatening. And unconditional affection. People reach out to them. Stroking a dog or a cat brings out a peace in people that are sick or lonely. It relieves anxiety. Now, I would understand that with a dog or a cat. It would seem to me you bring a burrow into a hospital room that it might some people might get a little wigged out, a little stressed out. That ever happened to you, old Jer?
Oh, we've had a few over the years that didn't want to see him, but you could count probably all of them on one hand.
What's the worst reaction Nicodemus ever got with a patient, Jerry?
Oh, he loves people.
Yes.
He just loves people.
But sometimes they don't love him, right?
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened one time when we went to the nursing home.
Yes, okay. Go ahead. Let's do that.
There was an elderly man in bed, stretched out completely, his head elevated slightly, and the attendant said, you know,
he hasn't changed
his expression or his position.
Stellar.
We don't know when.
This is quality.
And that little rascal.
This is really something else.
And put his chest
I'm loving every minute of this, John.
And laid his
so
head
fond
down
of
on his leg
though.
Sideways.
I was the one that personally approved this.
You should have seen that man's face. He didn't open his eyes, but his expression certainly did change.
Jerry, what
that was a great story, Jerry. That's a wonderful tale of miniature asses, donkeys. Yes, Buzz, you have a question?
Very touching. Yeah, I want to know, what is it about little donkeys that cheers people up?
You know, I can't really tell you, but it's something about nature. You
know? Dear, yes.
We don't know all the answers of nature, even though
we Jerry? We really don't know the answers of nature.
I will go till you tell me to stop.
We really aren't very intelligent when it comes to that part.
But what are we not intelligent when it comes to what, Jerry?
To nature's way.
You go naked in bed when I see
nature's
you Sunday.
We don't understand nature.
Right. Do you understand nature, Jerry?
Well, I understand part of it.
Yeah, the circle of life and all that, right?
But I tell you, there's so much of it we don't understand.
Jerry, do you have any fish?
Do I have what?
Do you have fish? Tropical fish. We were just talking about that.
I didn't understand that.
Do you have Jerry, do you have any tropical fish?
No.
Do the donkeys know how to swim?
No.
They don't know how to swim.
That surprises me.
I don't know if they do or not, but they don't like to walk through water.
They don't?
No, they don't like water's just to drink.
What do they eat, Jerry?
They eat hay and grass, just like a horse.
Just like a horse.
Yeah.
I have to ask you a question. Does Nicodemus stay in the house with you?
No.
Have you ever brought Nicodemus into the house?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Are you a married man, Jerry?
Yes, I am.
How long?
Well, my second wife, we've just had our 21st anniversary about a month ago.
And how does she feel about the miniature asses?
Oh, she loves them more than she loves me, I think.
Does she really now?
Yeah. God bless.
You two ever, like, for holidays, Christmas, an anniversary, Kwanzaa, you ever bring any of the miniature donkeys into the house just to, you know, feed them some hay off the kitchen table?
No, we've not done that.
What other animals do you have, Jerry?
That's it.
Oh, you're exclusively miniature donkeys.
Yes, sir.
76
answers. All right, Jerry, say I'm having a kid's party. And would I have to be in rehab in order to get your miniature donkeys to come and visit?
No.
Really?
No.
How much would you charge to do a kid's party?
Well, where's the party going
to
be?
Right. We would like to have the party right here at the studio. It's the studio. We're in Rockville, Maryland. Rockville, Maryland would be fairly far away.
You would certainly have to pay all my expenses and.
Well, what would that be? Just give me. I know we're putting you on the spot here, Jerry. But as far as a ballpark estimate, what are we talking about?
I really couldn't say for sure.
Hotel.
This gas thing is changing so rapidly.
Yeah, gas prices.
I gave them an estimate about going to Texas of between $3,000 and $4,000, and I don't know if that's going to do it now the way it's going.
Jerry, they're so small you could stuff like a dozen of them in a Prius.
You what?
You could stuff a dozen donkeys in a Prius.
You know what a Prius is, Jerry?
No.
It's a little gas-saving car.
Don't even try. It's not going to work. Jerry?
An automobile, Jerry.
Jerry, are you there?
Yes.
Jerry, are you saying $3,000 to get those, will we get Nicodemus alone or another donkey?
Oh, we could get Nicodemus there for $3,000, yeah.
$3,000?
Yeah.
American?
Yes.
I think it's a good deal.
I think it's a rip-off.
A lot of that's the hotel.
Don't you think you're looking for a little good publicity. Don't you think you could give us a break on that? I mean, we're talking, all right, gas from Royal Center, Indiana to Rockville, Maryland. What are we talking about? Seriously, what are we talking about?
How many miles?
$300? $400?
Well, how many miles?
Like 1,000 miles, 1,500 miles.
So that's, do the math, that's what,
okay.
$70,000.
Okay, 1,000 miles, I get about, on my truck, if I take the trailer, I get about 8 miles a gallon, so you figure it out.
Let's round it up to 10, that's 100 gallons of gas.
Okay.
And let's say you buy the most expensive, let's say you buy all your gas in Manhattan, that's $400 for gas.
We'd provide the hay, so that's it, you got that free. Do we need to put you up when you're here, like a hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you like to stay? First class places, or would you stay at can I tell you, there's a wonderful place. It's not in Maryland. It's actually over in Virginia, but
Fairfax.
It's a delightful. Fairfax, Virginia. It's called the Breezeway. Are you familiar with it?
Never heard of it.
I think, very nice. And this is, I'm just, working off the top of my head here, Jerry, but I really do believe that the Breezeway might allow Nicodemus to have his own room.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've probably done it before.
They have relaxed standards. All right, how about this, okay? So we've given you, got the room, we'll pop for that, we got the hay, we got $400 in gas. Let's say $475, bring Nicodemus here.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Well, Jerry, then we don't have anything other to talk about.
I thought
it really would be a wonderful idea, you know?
Well, no, I can't do that.
You know, we have several people, I should point out to you, that are very close to going into rehab on this show.
Well, that's you'll have to make other arrangements then, I guess.
What do you mean other arrangements, Jerry?
If you want me.
Well, I mean $3,000. I mean it's I think it's robbery.
Wait a minute.
What?
You're confused.
How am I confused?
I said I quoted those people in Texas.
Texas is further away. I think your Rockville,
right.
Maryland to Royal Center, Indiana trip, you're talking about a $500 trip tops.
Well, it would cost me more than $500 because I'll tell you why.
Well, because you've got to get it.
I go to West in Massachusetts, West Springfield every November.
West Springfield, Massachusetts. I know it well. I'm from that part of the world.
Okay.
Right.
And it cost me, counting my stalls.
Yeah. Your stalls?
It cost me about $1,500 to make that trip.
Okay. So we're saying, all right, you know what? Since we're about, I would say, 7 hours, 7.5 hours away from Springfield, you shave that off. I think we can do the whole thing for $685.
Which way are you from Springfield?
We're closer, much closer. Phenomenally closer
and
than
Springfield.
And
you wouldn't drive through Springfield.
You can't be that much closer. Because
Jerry?
It's almost straight across here.
Jerry, what if I threw in chicken?
You like fried chicken?
Do you like fried chicken? We have, I just don't want to overstate this, but we have ties to people in the chicken industry here in Washington, D.C., where you could get, I mean, you could just be swimming in fried chicken.
Oh, it's delicious.
No.
Do you like a good
piece
of...
I'm still not interested in those figures.
Jesus, Jerry.
Well, Mike, you know what? I think we're having another miniature donkey guy on next week. Maybe he can meet your friend.
You know something, Jerry? You
go ahead and get him.
Well, you know something? I think there are better people around the area. I think, as a matter of fact, we might know a person that could do it for $75 that has miniature donkeys around here.
Go ahead.
He dresses like a clown.
I would say you need to hang up for me and do it immediately.
Well, I don't think your attitude's being very fair. We're just trying to negotiate here.
Well, I'm trying to negotiate too, but...
Well, you're saying it's highway robbery. It's going to cost me $1,500 to get a miniature donkey.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
What?
When I come to West Springfield.
Yeah?
I'll add a day, come to a party for $500.
$500 sold.
That's a good man.
All right. What's your trip to Springfield? What are the dates? Give me the dates there, Jerry.
Oh, I don't know if I have those yet.
Okay.
We'll get back to you.
It's in November.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, do you know a guy named John Paul Flame?
No.
He's a donkey. At least I've heard that on the radio. I've actually heard that. Well, Jerry, tell you what. Why don't you do this? Check your schedule, and when you make that trip to Springfield, bring Nicodemus by.
Call first.
And when you bring Nicodemus by, could you dress him? Could you dress him?
Dress him?
Yes, dress him up. I've got a very specific outfit that I'd like you to put him in.
What is it?
I'd like you to put him in leather shorts and a leather hat.
No.
And I'd like you to put, like, an apple in his mouth or something.
No.
Why not?
No, won't do that.
Why not?
No, I just won't do it.
Well, what about, do you have another outfit you could put him in?
No.
Could you put him in a Baywatch outfit?
Let me tell you, this is part of the problem with the world on donkeys. Now, the people have ridiculed the donkeys
expressing love for the donkeys.
Wait a minute.
I love donkeys. All I'm trying to do is... put the donkey in a like leather outfit that would be delightful.
And it's cold in November. The donkey might like it.
Yeah.
No. And I can tell you what I'm going to be in. I just looked.
Okay.
I'm going to be in West Springfield. I will get there the 7th of November.
Okay. Let me check the calendar. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We're busy.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Got to run.
All right.
Take care. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
All right.
Would you dress him up like a Hooters girl?
No.
What about you?
No.
How about panties?
No. We go as a donkey. We don't go to get the breed ridiculed like they did.
They ridiculed Jesus.
And you know what they done to him?
Yes, of course. Oh, now you're comparing your donkey dying on the cross. I understand that.
Well, the donkey is God's chosen animal. Don't ever forget.
I think your donkey might be gay.
Well, maybe your show does.
The show does, yes. That's the official position.
That's true.
I'm sorry that this turned ugly, Jerry.
We can part as friends.
We really wanted to see your donkey.
You caused it. I didn't.
No, I think it was your fault, Jerry.
No.
Yeah, absolutely your fault.
Okay, then I'll hang up.
It was your fault.
Goodbye.
There's no need to be rude.
I'm not being rude.
Well, hanging up the telephone is just plain rude.
I don't, you know, you sound like the typical people in Washington.
Oh, now you're going to make it a Washington thing. What are you saying? We're like the administration?
Mm.
Don't go down that highway, Buster.
You sound just like them.
Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
I'm an American.
What is Nicodemus? What is his party affiliation?
He's an American.
Is Nicodemus a member of the Communist Party?
Nicodemus.
He would almost have to be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I am an American.
Are you you've got Americans here. We all support the Marine Corps.
Between the Democrats and Republicans is one's in and the other's a wanting
in. You know what? We agree with you wholeheartedly there. That's why I think you should bring Nicodemus here for free.
No.
Yes.
I'm not rich.
I'm not rich either.
What if we met you?
I'd like to familiarize you with alimony payments, Jerry.
What if we met you and Nicodemus on Capitol Hill? Then we could really get something done.
We might be able to, I know some people in the Secret Service. I might be able to arrange a tour of the White House for Nicodemus.
I approached the politicians because I'm about 20 miles from one of the best airstrips in the nation.
There you go. Yeah.
And for them to fly to Texas,
mm-hmm.
and they won't do it.
Yeah,
right.
But they can fly themselves all over the world for nothing.
Well, you know, now that I rethink it, though, with the costs involved and donkeys being very, very, they're smelly animals, aren't they?
No.
Yes, their odor is horrible.
Dirty. dirty.
Well, you know, everybody and everything has an odor.
Yeah.
Even you.
Not me.
Rob Spiewak doesn't. I have a lovely odor.
Yeah.
I have a lovely
compared
odor right
what?
Now. Pardon me?
Compared to what?
I'll tell you this, Jerry. I've worked with Mike for many years, and his smell approximates daffodils.
Daffodils. That's right. Floral.
Yeah. Right.
It's a light floral
scent.
You
sound like a flower person.
Yeah. Oh, I sound... What's that supposed to mean, Jerry? What's that? Is that... You making some kind of joke here? Yeah. Your donkeys stink.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
He was laughing for a while.
Yeah. That's this has just turned terrible.
Yeah. You guys...
Yes?
You don't appreciate the good things in life.
We certainly do.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
I don't.
You know what?
You take too much for granted, just like everybody else.
I was looking at a donkey. I was playing. I played donkey basketball.
That's
Are you
true.
Familiar with that?
I've seen it.
Yeah, you know, and I saw the donkey that I got to ride all day. You know what I said? I gave the donkey a compliment when I first walked into the gym. You know what I said?
No.
I said, that donkey's got a great ass. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah.
The donkey is the chosen animal?
Pardon?
You say the donkey is the chosen animal.
It's God's chosen animal, yes.
Isn't that something?
It is something. Yes. Well,
You never had any other animal mentioned in the Bible like the donkey has been.
True.
No,
that is true.
I think there's
And
rabbits.
You know something? I do appreciate the good things in life, Jerry. Strippers, coke, and weed.
Well.
Oh, just kidding. Jerry, we're having a little fun. Just trying to have a little fun, folks. Jerry.
Well, I tell you.
What?
Yes? Those people.
What people, Jerry?
Those people out there, those military people have gave so much more.
Oh, I know. All right.
Spare
us the political speech. I understand. That's right.
No, we know.
We know that, Jerry. We just wanted to meet Nicodemus. That's all.
Well,
so on your way to Springfield, stop by.
$500.
I'll think about it. I might get back to you.
All right.
All right.
Very good.
I think it still might be a little high. Might be a little out of my price range.
Well, can we just see a piece of ass.
In fact, we'd need a contract if you're going to do that.
In triplicate.
Well, you make the contract and send it, and I'll sign it.
You have a fax machine?
Beg pardon?
Never mind.
Jerry, it's been a real slice of heaven, and we wish you the very best of luck with Nicodemus and all of your asses.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was fun.
I thought that went well.
Yeah.
I thought that was... Look at John Norman.
You know what?
He's someone else. Yeah.
I walked away from
that.
Yes,
putting out an S, Johnny. Putting out an S.
I walk away from that. I can't believe he's only 72.
72 years young, and God love him. Wonderful, wonderful man, and I would love to wrap my hands around Nicodemus.
Wait, and kill him?
No.
You think Jerry wakes up tomorrow and there's a donkey head in the bed with him?
I love him, Nicodemus. All right, we're doing something next. I can promise you that. We'll be back on the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right here on the Jerry Todd Show here this morning, and we'll play the incredible contest in just a sec. But right now, a little business to take care of.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd weather.
And it looks pretty good, it does. It is going to be cloudy. Don't think it'll rain, though. Let's check the low right now. Overnight low of 45 degrees. That's a little on the chilly side. Checking the high, going to get up to 63 degrees. That's a little warmer.
The Jerry Todd Show.
I guess the question is, why do you have to be such a hump?
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
What?
Donkey.
Tell it.
Donkey.
Donkey.
Oh, no, you're dead.
Different donkey.
Right. Giving idiots a bad name. Don and Mike.
What was that one, Rob? You want to hit that one again, maybe?
I do.
Okay.
Let's see. Dude, thank you.
Giving idiots a bad name.
Yes, we are.
Don and Mike.
Better.
Welcome back to the Don and Mike Show. Don is off today, and we are reeling from our interview with Jerry, who was just playing hardball, Rob. He's playing a little hardball with us about the donkeys. Didn't want to come up with a $3,000 for donkeys. I don't think so.
You know what I feel is that if a Chris Matthews raised donkeys, that's how it would be.
It would,
playing hardball.
Look, all I want to see is a little furry animal in the studio. I thought it might be fun.
Screw you, Jerry.
Oh, you got to let it go, man.
I'm sorry.
Let it go.
On the show today, one thing we have not mentioned, and I think we are still we're still holding out hope. And I know that we've had a little dilemma as far as the approach buzz for strip trivia.
We might have said the wrong thing.
I think that there's just another way to go. I may have to prevail upon you a little later in the broadcast to, I don't like the word solicit.
No.
I don't like the word beg.
Invite. Let's say invite.
Invite. I don't like the word cajole.
No.
I would like to.
Pimp?
You know, here's a good one.
Encourage.
Suggest.
Suggest.
I think maybe a little later in your own special way, if you could do what you do, Buzz.
I believe I can.
Exuding your sexuality, that you, you know, you make an effort to see if we can get some women to participate. Mr. Normand? I have a question for you. How goes the hunt, as it were, for our ladies for strip trivia? We are thinking about maybe doing this next week.
Not as well as what I would like.
So that's why. You know what I found out during the break? That John originally hails from Indiana.
No, born in Ohio, family from Indiana.
Family from Indiana.
Yeah, he's a Buckeye.
Yeah, you've got that Indiana sensibility, though, don't you?
I do, thank you.
But, Buzz, what I think we need to do, strip trivia, let me, before, we'll let you do this later, but let me just say this about strip trivia. We are offering a cash prize somewhere in the neighborhood of thousands of dollars.
It's a lot of money.
Or it could be 100.
I think it was 500 and a gift card.
Oh, was it 500?
Or did we give the gift card away, John?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Well, there's a chance, though, that we might have, you know, car washes, pens.
That's right.
Happy Meals.
Lingerie, perhaps.
Lingerie might even be. Are you offering?
I am.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that?
Wow.
Now, yesterday, Don said on the show that we might do a one-on-one strip trivia. That would be two unbelievably lucky women would have an opportunity to come down to the studio. And just for participating in a fantastic brain-teasing game.
A few moments of their time. And you've said something important there.
What's that?
It's a game.
It's
not
a game.
They're not being taxed.
No.
Just a game.
Requires very little effort, and boy, is it fun.
It doesn't go on your permanent
It's strip
record.
Trivia, and listen, we can do one-on-one strip trivia. Just two ladies to come down here, ask them some questions. Winner walks away with cash. Both contestants walk away with just a satchel full of prizes.
Lingerie and Hitler book.
I think it's going to be fair. Yes, Rob's contributing, too.
Car wash.
Very, very, very exciting. Let's take a call here. Joe, you're on the Beltway. Joe, what can we do for you?
Joe! It's me. It's Joe.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mike, you ride motorcycles, right?
I try. Yes, I do.
One at a
motorbike.
Time.
I'm doing that. Ride to the wall there. I'm a
Sure, boy.
Going to do that for the first time. They say it's
buddy.
Tough because you know you kind of ride side by side. Hope the handlebars don't touch the other bikes.
Don't bump them.
Because then you're going down. Yes, I do ride motorcycles, Joe. Joe, is that it?
That's all he had.
All right.
He hung up to listen. To your
he wasn't
on the
from
air.
Sacramento. Otherwise, we would have given him a Japanese name.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How are you?
Great. I was just calling to ask and make sure that please, if you get women to go on the show, make sure they're as good as the folks that were on when I was on.
Now, you played strip trivia?
Yes.
Now, listen, we're not going to have men involved this time because we're we're whittling it down. We're trying some different things. We're maybe doing a one-on-one strip trivia. And you can testify playing the game that it is it not the most fun that you can have? And I was going to say, the most fun you can have with your clothes on. But, of course, they aren't on after
strip
trivia.
Well, they start with clothes on.
I mean, it really is a good time, isn't it, Omar?
It's fantastic.
This is
Omar, yes.
You always call.
Yes, you always call.
About strip trivia, Omar.
Omar!
And I'm willing to...
Yeah, I know you're willing to do everything.
All men are.
Thank you, Omar. Well, we're gonna do it. I feel confident. I feel as though that we are going to have a terrific strip trivia sometime next week,
especially with the lingerie.
And in a few, you know, I'm gonna actually. Before we get out of here today, I do want Buzz to just, in his own special way, explain to the ladies why strip trivia
now
is.
Now it's an explanation.
It's suggest.
It went from suggestion to explanation.
It'll be an explanation. And Buzz, you'll do a good job with that. So keep that in mind. Prepare yourself.
All right.
Get yourself all sexed up for that. I think it's going to work.
You know I can.
All right, 50s tapes. Now, Joe Ardinger is a bit of a collector.
Yes.
He collects power washers and boots that he uses with his power washers.
And stories.
And wonderful anecdotes that he shares on the weekends with all of his friends as he shoots off bottle rockets and eats crickets.
Joe Artinger has done, there's something that he has done on the show, and he's done it for, the last few months, that he collects these weird tapes, and he gets the old stuff. I don't know where he gets it from.
Vintage
tape, and it's a look back. It's a look back as to the way society used to be in our fast-paced society nowadays. It's insane, isn't it, Rob?
It's crazy out there.
But this is a softer
time. Have you been out there? It's crazy.
It's nasty. You drive in here every day.
Oh, my Lord. The people with their cars.
It's warfare out there, boy.
Yeah.
But what is this we will be listening to today? We're listening to tapes from the 1950s that talk about, is this the differences between men and women?
It's an instructional film.
Instructional.
In
I like
workplace,
that.
In a workplace, right?
No, this is psychological differences.
Oh. Now, you might be familiar with the tapes that we've played before, like the sex tapes where it's educational.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
Just Joe. Have one of those wonderful announcers that talks about that. Yes, that happened to Joe as
Joe,
well.
Joe.
Whenever
Joe.
He gets a new 50s tape, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But this is the differences between men and women. Is this explaining this to kids, or is this just talking about...
I've not heard it.
You've
John,
not heard it? I have.
Do you
want to
pepper
not...
John with a question or two?
No, I really don't. There's no
crack
need.
It open.
We know how that goes.
I know. He's from Ohio, don't you know?
And Indiana.
All right, this is something to do with men and women, and it's from the 1950s. Let's hear the first track here. I like it already.
Everyone is aware that the differences between the sexes go beyond obvious physical factors.
Uh-huh.
For example, there is the difference in muscular strength.
Weak arms.
Weak arms.
Also.
And the difference between miniature donkeys and the larger ones that also sleep with people.
Reject a woman and she will never let it go.
There it is.
Many defects of their kind.
Mm-hmm.
Also weak arms.
Somatically,
strength.
The man will do any heavy work that needs to be done.
Of course.
Both the girl and boy understand that he is better equipped for such work
now,
than he is.
Sure. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, these are some true things that you just don't hear anymore.
Right.
Because somehow in our twisted culture nowadays, these things have become politically incorrect.
Don't go crazy, Mike. There's nothing wrong with a woman doing some heavy lifting.
In your house, it's all the time.
Please, my back sometimes grows weary.
Yes, lifting
they
those bruised arms.
There is a difference in the roles which society expects them to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so she will be sympathetic if he is hurt. But she realizes, as well as he does, that men aren't expected to fuss over a little pain the way a woman might.
Mike?
Yes, Rob.
You have a little pain. Do you fuss over it?
I don't fuss at all.
And we're men.
I get my woman to do the heavy lifting.
And the fussing.
Yes, they're physically inferior. Thank you.
Seldom do such mutually acknowledged differences lead to problems. But many misunderstandings might be avoided if young couples were aware that there are other ways in which the sexes differ.
Yes, other ways, like in the Rob Spivak house.
Yes.
Where all disputes are solved with corporal punishment.
Just a sock full of BBs.
Wonderful, thank you.
Psychological and emotional ways, which may be subtle, but are nevertheless important in any man-woman relationship.
Share them with us.
A man-woman relationship.
A man-woman, the marital bed.
Quit fussing.
Yes, no need to fuss, weak arms.
For instance, Jane doesn't know that she has a different attitude toward people than Jim has.
Yes.
I hate Jane.
Jane. Jane, you ignorant slut.
Jane, the sea of the neighborhood.
Jane is the neighborhood sea.
She hasn't been going with him long enough for her way to clash with his.
Is that going with him?
Yeah, Jim's been boning Jane, apparently.
Jane. Jane is known as the neighborhood pump, ladies and gentlemen.
But to understand her way, you should see it in action.
Oh, hello, yeah!
She has quite a way.
Hello, baby.
Let's look at Jane's mouth.
Hello, I'm coming to your neighborhood. I'd sure like to see Jane. I'm looking for a campaign contribution. Is Jane at home?
Not long ago,
hello,
Jane
dear.
Had a problem involving a friend who, frankly, didn't bathe as often as she should.
Okay.
Wow.
She didn't bathe.
Well, you know what that is. That's Jane's smelly friend.
Jane's friend, unfortunately, smelled up the whole neighborhood with fish.
Wonder if Jane's friend wants to play strip trivia.
I think we've had Jane's friend on the show.
I know we have.
This is how Jane handled it.
Hi, Gwen. Hi, Gwen. Oh, Gwen. Yeah? Last time we had Jim, I ran out of deodorant. I was going to buy some from you.
Can you tell?
Can you tell that it's that 1950s audio?
Sounds perfect to me.
I believe this is just my uneducated opinion.
Yes.
That, Jane and this woman happen to be professional actresses.
In a badly amplified locker room?
Hi, my name's Jane. You're my best friend. You smell like ass.
Hey, Gwen.
I thought you didn't have any in your basket either. So since I had to get some for myself, I got some for you, okay?
All right, do we have another cut? Because they can't even understand what
we
that
do.
Is. All right, let's go to another cut here.
Cut three.
Indirectly and subtly, using a roundabout method, Jane tries to get her point across in a woman's way.
Roundabout.
You smell like ass. Here's some soap.
Here's some soap. Not bad to be a C, as long as you don't stink up the locker room.
I really like you, but you're not bathing.
And if she hadn't gotten it across this time, she'd have tried something else, equally indirect. But the last method she would think of would be a direct or blunt way that might hurt Gwen's feelings.
Oh, no.
Now let's see how a similar problem might be handled by Jim.
I will tell you right now, Jane decided to bring a miniature donkey into the home of her friend who smelled like a donkey herself.
Let's see how Jim handles it.
Let's bring Jim in.
He's going to overlook the rule about taking a shower this time. The treat.
I'm for that. The air in this school's as much ours as it is his. He's polluting it, and that's going to come to a screeching halt.
But first, let's make love to him.
Now, is he talking about polluting? Is he saying he's polluting because he stinks?
Yeah, he skipped a shower.
He's polluting it.
So he's going to take him back to the shower.
That's how we express it on this show, too, Buzz. We always say, hey, you're polluting it today.
That's right.
Yeah. I think we've got a room next door, the bathroom, that actually that happens, too.
We've all polluted that.
Let's see what's next.
I have to sit beside him in history next hour.
Hi, fellas. Well, I've practiced that hookshot so long, I don't have
the audio.
Nice echo.
We'll move on to the next one.
What else is good is apparently this high school caters to students that are 40 years old.
Direct action. That's the man's approach.
Yes.
The one Jim and other men understand.
Right. Direct
even
action.
Even the fellow whose feelings are most directly involved. There's another difference between the sexes which can be used to illustrate the gulfs that must be bridged before a girl and boy really understand each other.
Uh-huh.
And that difference lies in their temperaments.
You ready for your surprise? Okay, dessert. First, set your eyes. I bet you didn't even know I knew today was your birthday.
Gosh, no.
Hey. Yeah.
You didn't even know.
You know, they all have a... Yeah, it is my birthday, and look what I want.
Swinging 50s.
Bet you didn't know I was double-jointed.
How about a favor for my birthday?
Sure, says Jane.
A special favor.
Jane and Gwen.
Jane and Gwen. No, leave Gwen at home. She smells.
Thanks.
Oh, hold on just a second. Now, what's happening there?
Oh, if I have to draw you a picture.
I'm hearing something going on. I heard a rustling sound.
It was.
All right, we have to take a break. We are way up on a break right now. We will come back and finish. Now, Joe, you have some insight on this?
Yeah, really quickly before we break. The visual is she hands him a cupcake with a candle in it.
Mm-hmm.
He blows out the candle and throws the candle down into the grass, and she gets upset.
Oh, and she's topless, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
very good. All right.
Well,
I like these, Joe, except a little hard to hear the ones that are talking like this, but I want to find out what the ending is with Jane and her smelly, fishy friend.
Gwen,
you smell like a miniature donkey, and we'll be right back on.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What? What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Woo!
Don't never, ever trust fighting.
Can you understand why I drink at night?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Alan Calder, TV's Police Chief Axelrod.
Welcome to the Don and Mike World of Comedy.
Uh-huh. I can relate to that. There it is. You're listening to the Don and Mike World of Comedy.
I'm kidding, of course.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Don is off today, and we have not gotten to anything that I wanted to do today.
Put it back in the hopper.
We'll put it back in the hopper. We did not get to our man-cow moment. We do have more of that stain man-cow, Don got started on yesterday, and I want to follow up on because, really, we all feel that way, and I don't think we're alone. As far as people that do what we do in radio, about this guy, man cow.
Yeah. Get him, boys.
John Norman was telling me he was reviewing some of this man cow stuff. Mm-hmm. And, this is the guy that's preaching from the mountaintop and saying he's better than that. He's all over Opie and Anthony.
He's saying radio shouldn't be mean anymore. He's come up with some kind of bogus code of conduct.
And
his jockeys, right?
And as we said yesterday, and I think this is the important point to make here, it is all well and good. Mm-hmm. If you're doing what we're doing, you want to make a change in direction, you want to modify your act, you want to do something, but really, It's like anything in life, don't forget where you came from.
Right.
And really, don't be the uber hypocrite, which this guy is, you know, trying to. And really, it's as transparent to me as the day is long that this guy is doing this for one reason and one reason only.
Sure.
He thinks this will further his career, and he's, you know, and it's really to come on, even if he started an organization that said, hey, I'm going to try to do this, if he put it on himself. But no, what he's doing is he's trying to rat out guys that are out there trying to make a living, guys that are making their living based on the expectations that they have from management,
right,
which is the truth, and people don't realize this. It never gets discussed in radio radio circles. It never gets discussed that really what we do is what we are expected to do.
Right. What you're told to do.
Well, it's not necessarily told, Buzz, but
right.
I think we're...
Not directly, yeah.
You know, they indicate, hey...
Get ratings is what
this
they say.
Is what we want you guys to do.
Right.
We want you to, you know, push the envelope a little bit. Mm-hmm. We want you to be irreverent. That's what it's all about.
But Mancow has a certain code of rules that he's come up with, and apparently microwaving babies, which is what he was talking about this morning, fits into his code of conduct.
You know, and really, when you look at the fact that he's out there making his living now, mm-hmm. taking advantage of guys that, in this particular climate, you know, get a bum rap. Right. And right now, this is the time to hate anybody that does what we do.
Uh-huh.
And any misstep whatsoever, it's a very scary time to be on the radio right now.
He's cashing in on it.
And he's one that comes from doing this kind of radio.
Right.
And anyway, to make a long story short, this guy's got more crap on his radio show.
But a nice goatee, a nice Van Dyke. It went out about 6 years ago.
And, you know, the whole Rush Limbaugh, Mancow, that delivery. Hey, how are you? I'm in control here.
Exactly.
If I talk like this and my diction is flawless, I will sound authoritative. F you.
Our support staff put a picture of Mancow on the tank of our toilet in the bathroom today.
Bravo.
And nobody's hit the bowl all day because of it.
Yep. We didn't...
You should see some of the media stuff he sends out. We laid our hands on some.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of that crap.
Some of him lounging in a gorilla suit, no mask, no gloves, no feet, just him in a gorilla suit.
Because
he's funny like that.
Because he's kooky and crazy.
Isn't that great?
What's the full show called? What's it called?
The Mancow Morning Madhouse.
Yeah, all right. Well,
Eric Mueller.
And, you know, you want to really turn off people that do what we do. You want to piss us off. Oh, here it is. John's bringing me this right now. Oh, there he is in a... God, even the look on the guys. What a stain.
Let me see it again.
What a, you know.
You just want to just beat him with a rock?
It's a classic. Let's not get violent, Rob Spiewak.
That's mean, Rob.
But
I didn't diss his religion.
You know, so many ways, really, seriously, there are not many people that do what we do.
That's
and there
true.
Are so many ways that you can make your hay. You can feed your family.
Mm-hmm.
But when when you're doing this, just stepping on other guys' necks when they're down and kicking them when they're down. Mm-hmm. You know, I really have to use Opie and Anthony as an example. We, you know, everybody knows we had a feud with Opie and Anthony.
Yeah,
we went back and forth. There's a classic DJ feud. That happens all the time. You want a next step when that's going on during a regular DJ feud, that's fine.
Okay.
When you are taking advantage of guys in this business that are doing the same thing you're doing at their absolute moment where they're, you know, where they're getting kicked to the curb, that's when I think you're just, I mean, lower than whale poop.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? It sucks. So
your fish tank aside, you should never eat your own.
Yeah, Mancow, he's trying to eat his own, but he's not going to do it. It's not going to be successful because I guarantee you that we are not the only people in the country that are talking about this. And
everybody is mad at him.
You know what I'm going to do, Rob?
What's that, Mike?
You be Fran. I'll be Ginger. We'll do a dance, and I'm going to form my own organization of people for the elimination of Mancow's BS.
Do you know what you sound like?
What's that?
You sound like a liberal.
Yeah, liberals, Alan, liberals.
Yeah. Liberals.
Who knows what he's doing? But you know what? There's a big, big, fat, stinky agenda there, and I think everybody's bright enough to see right through it.
I hope so.
So hopefully more Mancow in the future. We're gathering that as we speak because, hey, we've got our eye on you, Mancow.
Hey, man.
Also, Rob, you dodged a bullet today because Tard Sharks,
yes.
The Rob Spiewak game.
This
here's
is
the way this
be
works.
A great game.
Listen, I am not immune from this either, all right? Mm-hmm. This is we are in a period of experimentation where we throw it up and see if it sticks to the wall. And, Joe came in with his good faith effort to play his little game that I've already even forgotten.
You forget the name?
Pick a pair.
Pick a pair.
Hey.
There it is.
America
loves
it. I
guess the question.
Pick a pair.
Overwhelmingly successful.
Mm-hmm. Pick a pair.
That's the one I like.
Pick a pair.
Monday, you know, we will probably have a very, very interesting foray into my game show that I have created.
Don't reveal it.
You've come
I will
up
not.
With a game show.
I have come up with a game
That's
show.
Exciting.
I have come up with a radio game show that is very quick. You know, it's kind of a quick hit thing.
Sure.
Probably can play it one time. And Rob's got Tard Sharks, and we got a million other games.
Oh, absolutely.
We're gonna see what happens. And somewhere out there, Rob, on this particular show, will be the game that just permanently fuses itself to the psyche of America.
You mean tomorrow's Honk for Cash?
Yes, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, on the show, we will be playing Honk for Cash. No, actually, tomorrow. I didn't talk about this, about my weekend dilemma.
I just found out myself.
What are you doing?
Well, you know, Buzz, occasionally there are a number of weekends go by, and I start to crave the action, Buzz.
The high life, the casino action.
You know, it's just, you know, I'm not proud of this, but it is something that I do require every now and then. And there's a friend of mine that happens to be a pilot, and he happens to fly his own little plane.
Uh-huh.
And he made me an offer that I really couldn't refuse.
The golden boy.
Yes, the golden boy. You know, he's a great guy. Uh-huh. And, you know, he said, how about 10 o'clock? And then somebody in my circle of friends informed me we'll have 35-mile-an-hour wind gusts tomorrow.
Well, if they're behind you, you'll get there so much faster.
Oh, at that altitude, it'll be much greater than that.
Might want to check in Monday. And incidentally, love all you guys. If anything does happen, speak highly of me. And remember, the funeral is at my joint with the casket on the bar if anything happens.
Health code?
Health code violation, but I won't care at that point.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
It's a
safe journey.
Yeah, so Atlantic City is in the planning stages right now.
I thought you were talking about Baltimore.
No, I'm not going to Baltimore. I'm going to where the action is, baby.
You'll love it, baby.
So we'll hear what happens. You know, always an adventure when you go to that wonderful time. Speaking of smelling, it's wonderful. All right, let's get back to the 50s.
Before we do,
yes.
I've got to ask you.
Yes.
This picture that you've been talking about.
All right, I'm not going to make you wait any longer.
I mean, you started at like 3:30.
We do have a wonderful
website. You
know what
picture it is, don't you, Rob?
I don't.
He hasn't seen it, has he?
You know, we should reset because if you've just joined us,
yeah.
you've been driving me nuts. In the first commercial break.
We've got plenty of time in the show. I don't know if I want to show it to you right now.
In the first commercial break, I was prevented from going back to the producer's area because they were ganging up on me.
Well, we were rolling around on the floor laughing.
Let me see if I can. All right, there's one.
Oh, there's more than one.
There are pictures from Rob's past.
Now, wait a minute, Buzz. Hold on. All right, go ahead.
Delight us. And
this is, you got to go to DonandMikeWebsite.com. We've got these on the website right now already.
Are they up?
Oh, this is Young Robbie. Young Robbie Spiewak.
From what year?
Well, you tell me, Rob.
All right.
First of all, this is a, this looks like a class picture from Young Rob Spiewak.
Picture has no class.
Take a gander.
That would be maybe freshman year, sophomore year of college.
Now, look at
high
this
school.
One. Here's the one I think that's the most flattering of all of them.
Oh, you're such a nice guy.
This is young, strapping Rob.
Oh, that's my senior picture. Look at that.
He grew into that head.
Yeah, and you know what? That hairline hasn't changed a bit, has it?
Such a sweet-looking boy is Robbie.
Wow.
Yeah, look at this one. All right.
Okay.
All these are to be found on DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Oh, my God.
The photo gallery?
That's handsome, isn't it?
All right, and two more, Rob. And this is the second to last one that
gay,
I want to. This is the gay picture.
Group shot.
There's a gay picture?
There's a picture. Now, tell me if this is a picture of you gathering with your gay theater friends. Is that true?
It is.
What is that group?
That is the thespians of James Madison High School.
Thespians. Let me see it again.
You know someone in that picture. Brad's in that picture. That's when Brad had curly hair.
All right.
Dead center on the couch. My best friend Brad.
Look at the group shot in the photo
gallery. That's Brad right in front of you?
Yeah.
Joe's taking a look at it. Brad, like you, like me, like everybody else, put on a few lbs after that.
Sure.
Yeah. And you were in the thespians.
Yes, that you had to gather enough thespian points.
That's not the sports team.
Try to pick out Rob in the group shot at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Rob, what would you estimate your weight to be at that point? You
got to be 40 or 50 pounds less.
This was just before Guys and Dolls, right?
Oh, shut up.
This is
that's before My Fair Lady.
Look at all the thespians there. I'm trying to think if
hard to peg us as theater folk, isn't it?
All right, so go to DonandMikeWebsite.com in the photo gallery for Rob's pictures of Rob in his theater arts days.
We had a motto at the thespians: no fat chicks.
Yes. This is okay. You got that's Piggy McGillicuddy right there. Oh, no names, of course.
No.
I'm guessing right there, the one right next to Brad.
Everybody.
Was she the hottie?
Absolutely.
Was she the theater pump?
No.
No?
She was unattainable.
Oh, really? She
pretty
was,
much.
I, all right, here's the question. I guarantee I know the answer to this. She did not date anybody from the theater arts group, correct?
After she graduated, she did.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
But during high school, she was...
As a matter of fact, you got a picture of the guy who dated her there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my other best friend.
John Mayer?
Hey, hey.
Look at this guy. There he is.
Now, you know what we're doing? We're mugging there.
Well, if you want to see young Joey Robb, I can still see your red cheeks even in the black and white picture
sure,
right here.
Absolutely.
It comes right through.
How about this, though, Mike?
What's that?
You want that for your wallet?
I do. I want that. I want that to be put on luggage.
And John, these are from the Belcher?
Yeah.
All right.
He got them sent to him to his MySpace page from somebody that you went to school with.
Well, if you've always wanted to know what young Robb, young doughy, lovely, sweet-eyed, sweet-faced, theater arts major Thespian Robb looked like, go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com and those will be on there.
Isn't
right
it
now.
Amazing how great and great looking I turned out?
Yeah. Are you interested in Herr Hasselhoff? Do you want to hear anything about Hasselhoff?
Is there something new?
Well, it says his ex-wife is claiming he has had alcohol poisoning 12 or 13 times.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, big deal.
David Hasselhoff.
Suck it up, Hasselhoff. Don't be a wuss. Amy Fisher and Joey Buttafuoco might be getting back together. Do you care about that?
I don't. I really don't.
They might auction off. I think they are auctioning off Michael Jackson sex toys. In fact, I got this from our friends at TMZ.com. Michael Jackson, the auction will go on. Apparently, he stopped the fight to prevent the auction from going on. 20,000 items, including family costumes, sunglasses, hats, sex toys, and this is just plain creepy, nude paintings of children.
Did he do the painting?
I have no idea.
Ah.
I believe he did.
Estimated worth $50 million? I do not think so.
Well, who worth that to who?
I don't know. Are you interested in the list of songs that Hillary is considering? I'm not.
No.
No, I'm not either.
No.
Anne Heche is nuts. We all knew that.
After the punchline.
And there's one other thing that I got right before I went on the air here from TMZ also. A former stylist and a dresser for Oprah Winfrey's The Color Purple Broadway show has sued the show. She is saying that she was fired for daring to suggest that the show didn't have enough people of color. Now, as anybody knows that's seen the show, the actors, you know, they're all African-American
right.
actors. But she says behind the scenes with, like, the people that are doing the grips
and lighting.
And the lighting
oh.
and
scenery.
The stylists and three people of color and the rest Caucasian. She also said that her direct supervisor, who happens to be white, addressed her as sister and girlfriend. So that
don't
is,
never, ever that, trust white.
That's right, and that is what's pissed her off. She is not happy about
don't
that.
Don't never, ever trust whitey.
Let me see. Anything else here? Paula Abdul tried on for Baywatch. Tried out for Baywatch. I don't care. More fun on Paris Hilton. Is it 23 days now? Paris Hilton, that's
down
what I'm hearing.
23,
yeah.
I think.
23 days.
Nice deal if you can get
and,
it.
And other than that, that's it. But
there's only one other big news story.
What's that?
Is that the Preakness is this weekend.
The Preakness is this weekend, yes. And Barbara, so do we have time to do the 50s thing, or are we running up on a break
here?
We need to break. We will get back to those 50s tapes. And Robb is right. Thank you for directing me. I do appreciate that.
No problem.
That's your theater arts background, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, I got that in my sophomore year. You won't see that in the freshman picture.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
You know, the Preakness is this weekend.
It is indeed.
It's a big horse race,
it's
you know.
Very popular with people.
You know, a lot of people wouldn't have this interview.
That's true. It's an exclusive for us.
This is a very big exclusive, as a matter of fact. Horse racing, a lot of people think about, especially locally here in the Washington, Baltimore area, they think about how wonderful horse racing is.
There's a very special horse, I expect, watching from above.
This is a very, very exciting moment because coming up next on the show, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to talk to anybody about horse racing that might be a bookie or a jockey.
No trainers.
We are actually going to open up a hotline to heaven, and we are going to go to the super stall in heaven that is currently occupied by Barbaro. So he will have his insight and give us a little lowdown on the Preakness.
Looking forward to
I think
it.
He knows who's going to win. An exclusive interview with Dead Horse Barbaro coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, I think we should play a little music for the nice people listening to us.
That's a good idea, Larry. Why don't we ask everybody to go and get their toy instruments and join us?
For once, you got an ounce of brains in your empty skull.
Yeah.
You got your instruments, kids? You ready?
One, two, three.
The Don and Mike Show.
On the cusp of entertainment, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Welcome back to the Don and Mike Show. Don is not here today. Mike and I are filling in. Rob Spiewak's here.
Hi.
And we have something very exciting for you, I think. You're not going to find this on any other radio show. And that is the special connection we have with the Hotline to Heaven. Just ahead of the big Preakness race that's so exciting for horse lovers everywhere, and especially in this part of the country, we have a connection, I believe, if we can tune it in, if we can bring it in, we have a connection to a former Preakness champion, Barbaro, the late Barbaro.
Hold on a second.
Yes?
I can't hear myself, Rob.
Barbaro can't hear himself.
I can't hear myself.
Hi, Barbaro.
It seems to be broken. Kid, hello?
Barbaro, the horse having technical problems in heaven.
I'm terribly sorry.
Well, we've got him.
How can I do?
The ghost.
God, ticket interview.
Now entering the studio, the ghost of Barbaro.
Hello, I have to go back to my...
No, he's going back to
my heaven
stall.
And hopefully get another. It's very hard to hear. There we go. Let's see what happens
here.
I hope
this doesn't happen
to
the Preakness itself.
Hello, is that... No, I don't hear it anymore. What's happening?
Well, part of the problem is he's
dead. Can you hear me, Rob, on your headphones?
I can hear you, Barbaro.
How come I can't hear anything?
We can hear you just fine.
Battery pack tested out, Barbaro.
Hey, here, play with it for a second. I'm going to go over to the other microphone.
Okay.
You can't expect a horse to know how to operate
one
of those. Hello, hello, Barbaro.
You know,
come on over to the microphone.
A lot of my show now, something going cotton picking crazy.
Ghost
today.
Of Barbaro.
Hello, Doc.
What?
Well, Don's not here, Barbaro.
Don's got the deal.
He does, indeed. But we're honored to have you in the studio, the ghost of Barbaro.
Oh,
thank you for joining us.
I'm just going to make my way to my heaven.
I know you're going to be watching from above this weekend.
We're going to say, yes, I am, Buzz. I'm not comfortable talking in person.
Oh, all right.
I want to go over to my own studio right now.
Being
this
from the
tall.
Afterlife.
I'm real sorry. You're not. It's real low, isn't it? I'm going to try it anyway. Hold
great
on
great
second.
Stall in the sky.
I'll be right back. I'll move it over there.
Barbaro, now
hello?
Returning
Barbaro?
To the stall.
Hello? Can you hear? No, nothing? Oh, that's great. Well, let me just walk around the building. Isn't this fun? Best laid plans of mice and men.
Hi, Barbaro.
Now I'm in my studio,
uh-huh.
And I can't hear you guys at all.
Barbaro, I have a question.
You know... Technical difficulties, cotton picking Preakness.
It's like talking to
you
a horse.
You might remember me as Barbaro. I'm coming back because I can't hear anything. Hey, Rob?
Yes, Barbara?
There's a spider on the wall in here. It looks like the spider from Arachnophobia.
That big?
Hey, what the F happened? Excuse me, Rob. I'm going to go get my hooves.
As I see you walking, Barbaro, I don't even see a limb.
That's because it's heaven, Rob. Let me just take care of a little manure issue I have.
Oh.
A horse.
There we go.
Wow. How about that?
Oh, boy. Now I'm going to get everything I brought into the bathroom to do this stupid bit.
Things are really different in heaven.
I'm coming
apparently.
Back over here right now.
Barbaro.
I tell you, it's a well-oiled machine, isn't it? No doubt. I guess we don't have that capability today. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Barbaro. Good to see you.
How's it going?
It's doing very, very well. You're looking well.
I'm very bitter.
You're bitter? Why?
I'm bitter because I should have been in the Preakness and won it, and I should have had that hall locked up, but unfortunately now, let me see how my hoof sounds.
Oh, I hear you. Barbaro, you know, I did have a question to ask you.
Yeah.
You can hear me okay now?
I can hear you because I'm looking at you, ass.
Okay.
I'm right across from you, Rob.
You won the Kentucky Derby last year.
I didn't just win
the
Kentucky Derby.
Right.
What I did was I completely obliterated the competition, and then unfortunately,
you were favored to win the Preakness last year.
My leg broke down completely, and now I'm just here in heaven watching the Preakness.
They had to destroy you.
Yeah, they destroyed me, and now I'm enjoying life up in heaven.
All right, well, here's the question.
What's the question, Rob?
Let's say you did not break your leg. Let's just speak theoretically. You did not break your leg. How many races do you think you could have won?
Excuse me, I dropped my footstep. What?
I said,
yeah.
Let's pretend you hadn't broken your leg. How many races do you think you could have won? Four. Seven. Eight.
I think eight's about right.
You think eight's right?
I think so.
Then they would have sent you out to stud?
They sent me out to stud. I'd just like to say, when I was in that cast, they could have taken a bear, a nice hot bear with a great butt, brought her in, and they could have maneuvered me from that sling that I was in.
Oh, I remember.
All I asked for when I was on Earth and alive was just one moment of equine pleasure.
Now, let's say
that's all I wanted.
If they had brought a mare in there, how many times would you have needed her?
That sounds, you know what that sounds? Sounds like an air freshener can hit an empty cigar box.
Sounds like a horse hoof.
I think it sounds like a hook.
We're back to Cotton Pick at 1933. Where's Jack effing Betty?
So you would have balled her three times?
Balled her. Yeah, if that bear was hot as horse balls.
Uh-huh. Four times.
Eight times.
You mighty horse, you.
In one night. Now I'm going to go down the list of all the people in the Preakness.
All the horses?
You got Mint Slula.
Who?
Exchanger. Circular Quay.
Uh-huh.
Curlin, can I just say something?
Yeah.
Those are all pussified names.
You don't care for those?
You don't want to name the fur a horse that really would have won?
What?
Barbaro.
Barbaro.
That's the one that would have gone well.
Who is your pick to win?
I picked to win. None of them.
Do you have a favorite? You don't have a favorite?
I don't have a favorite. The favorite's dead.
Well, you're still the favorite?
Speaking to you from heaven, or actually the studio, which the heaven sound effect didn't work too well.
No, sadly.
Then you got a... flying first class, what kind of elitist name is that? And you got hard spun street sense.
Mm-hmm. Your handlers told us you would pick a favorite.
My handlers, let me talk about, you want to talk
please,
about my handlers?
Please, I do.
How many handlers did I have? Let me think for just a second.
I wonder.
I'm going to think, not the microphone.
No, hit it with the air freshener, Barbara.
How many handlers did I have?
I think I have.
Does that sound like a horse's hoof
it
to you?
Like it does.
Convincingly.
Yeah, my handlers suck ass.
Well, they told us to pick a favorite, and if you don't want to pick by name, you could pick by
all
number.
All right, here we go. You ready? I need a drum roll.
I'd like one.
A drum roll for Barbaro.
Barbaro's pick.
Barbaro's pick.
Yes?
This year's Preakness.
Yes?
Covering his throat. Horse fart.
Barbaro's pick.
Barbaro.
That's not a horse fart. Give me a good one. No. There we go.
Miniature donkey.
Let's try that again. Yeah, let's try it again. There it is. Barbaro's pick to win the Preakness this weekend is Curlin.
Oh, that
Curlin.
Was very well regarded in the Derby as
Curlin.
Well.
Curlin.
What's the post position number of that?
I don't know. How could I possibly
count the number of jerseys down it is?
I did. Okay. Hold on, let me count.
There you go.
Count them out for us.
Here we are.
One, two, three.
That's my hoof, you know.
Yeah.
He's counting.
Goddamn funny game. If it sounded even remotely like a horse's hoof, or I was able to go back into the bathroom, but unfortunately it didn't work. All right, put all your money on Curlin. Can I hear that trumpet one more time,
the
please?
The trumpet? Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Takes you back, doesn't it?
I could almost smell the other horses, the smell of the mud, the manure, the grass, and all the people, and all the Baltimore people puking.
Did you smell the other horses?
I did. Every chance I got, I'd like to say God bless you.
Yes.
God bless you, Buzz.
Thank you, Barbara.
Hey, God bless the United States of America.
Maybe you could speak to God about getting a seat in the infield.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's a smart-ass remark. I'm floating away. Bad cow's the same. So long, everybody.
The late Barbaro.
Goodbye.
The most magnificent horse.
I can't seem to go away.
Wasn't he called the People's Horse?
Yes,
people's
he was.
Horse, yeah. Hey, Buzz, before I go away.
Yes, Barbaro.
You got news coming
up,
my friend?
I do indeed.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Ask me how many newscasts Buzz will be doing today.
How many segments will Buzz do tonight?
Segments or newscasts?
Newscasts or segments?
No, people don't understand segments. The newscast should be considered as a whole.
Okay.
Well, it is kind of.
How many newscasts tonight?
Tonight?
Tonight, Barbaro.
I'm glad you asked.
Thank you.
How many?
Thank you.
Only one.
Pause.
Thank you, Bob.
Oh, you got a
bye. Pause, bye. Damn it.
I stopped. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestfire?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
From the Bob Barker Studio, come on down. Let's party.
It is the sacred day, the day for Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
We didn't get around to it today on the Don and Mike Show. Don is off today. We are going to talk, hopefully Monday, about our new addition to the family.
All right.
I believe interns are on the horizon.
Ah.
No good can come from that. Think of all the things that have happened when you've hired interns. You got me.
Interns. Were you an intern?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I was. God almighty, that's scary. That's terrifying.
I can show you pictures of how I looked when I was an intern. Go to the website.
And I believe it's a male intern. Is that right, John? It's a male intern we're talking to? And he might be ready, might even be ready by Monday, right?
Oh, I'll have him here on Monday.
Oh, we're going to have new meat on Monday.
Absolutely.
There's
have some work for him. We're going to get a computer set up for him back here in the producer's room and put him to work cleaning up the area so we'll have a place to put the computer.
Very good. Looking forward to that. We have a new meat coming in. It's Hazing Monday on the show.
That'll be good.
Also on Monday's show, we are going to discuss a new game that I came up with. And I think it's going to be nice. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's clever.
Always like games.
And it might even have some new jingles for it if Joe drinks enough this weekend.
Oh, I think that's almost a deadlock.
Yeah. Should be very, very interesting. Also, Man Cow Moments and more of those 50s tapes and lots more fun. And I will let you know if indeed I do make the pilgrimage by air in 35-mile-an-hour winds to the great Mecca of Atlantic City, New Jersey.
A little nervous about flying, are you?
I'm freaked out.
Mm-hmm. Would you
I'm
phone
totally
me?
I'm totally freaked out. I'll phone you.
You so seldom phone me.
I'll tell you what
hours.
I'll do. I'll tell you what. I will phone you when I get off of the plane because I believe I will be preparing. I will be doing pre-flight this weekend.
Ah.
Yes, it should be very interesting.
Do you want to decode that for people that don't know what that means? No, I do.
I'll stagger off that plane.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Here we are. This is great. Wasn't that a great 40-minute flight? I was able to drink that.
I don't know.
This is the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let us bring him in, the sexy man. And we didn't get a chance to have you sexy solicit for strip trivia.
Didn't get around to
that. We'll do that also on Monday and a lot of other stuff. Without further ado, here's Buzz Burbank and the news.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. There are, by various estimates, between 10 and 20 million people living in this country illegally. So do we raise the bridge or lower the river?
Joe.
Some powerful officials in Washington have a plan that would make millions of those illegals legal.
Hmm.
After months of secret bargaining, the White House and key lawmakers have agreed on a plan that tightens border security and sets up a high-tech system to keep illegals from getting jobs.
Right.
Both the president and Ted Kennedy are in agreement on these things, including amnesty for millions of immigrants based more on their backgrounds and educations than on their family ties.
Ted Kennedy do approve of immigration reform, and I like tequila.
The idea is to let in the good workers. Now, in spite of the powerful people like Kennedy behind the plan, it isn't going well, really, with Democrats or Republicans.
All right, you say let in the good workers.
By filtering out the ones who are less educated, less experienced, and those who've been in some kind of legal trouble.
Right.
They plan to screen them, actually.
So what, they're going to set up the big wall and then everyone has a resume?
Apparently so.
Hell resume?
And what could possibly go wrong in terms of forgery?
What could possibly go wrong?
Meanwhile, back at the border, U.S. border agents are being recruited to serve in Iraq. The State Department's looking for a few good men and women, okay, 120, to serve their country over there instead of over here.
That's the same thing like when they don't have equipment when there's a massive tornado
mm-hmm.
that devastates a city.
Very similar. Now, here's the fun part. The border agents would be in Iraq to train Iraqi border agents so they can protect their border.
Because our borders are working so well.
That's right. The Bush administration has hired a recruiting company to try to sell this idea to 120 border agents. If we're just now worried about border security, we're a little late to the party, give or take 10 million illegal aliens.
South of the border.
Oh, and hang on to something, Rob. One in three Americans, according to the Census Bureau, one in three Americans isn't white.
Did you hear that Rob sued the Color Purple show, Oprah Winfrey's show?
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not enough white people backstage.
I understand.
Yeah, terrible.
For the first time in history, a full one-third of the U.S. population is something other than Caucasian. the majority minority is Hispanic.
That actually is not the number I came up with, but it's very close.
What number did you come up with?
Like 36%.
Jesus Christ. Hispanics make up over 44% of the minority population
in
the U.S.
How could that sweet, doughy-faced boy that we have on our website, those pictures of Rob, turn into this monster?
You did this to me.
This absolute monster.
You did this to me.
Training, marching, and reading those books.
Horrible.
That's about 15% of the total population that Hispanics make up. Now, the Census Bureau says the black population has passed 40 million in this country for the first time.
And I urge everybody to do what I'm doing. When I ordered my sandwich at Subway again today, lechuga, tomate,
no,
mayonnaise.
See, I don't think that's right.
You know what? It's bringing everyone together, Buzz.
Is it?
I'm all about that. I'm all about bringing human beings together.
How about if I go to, like, Taco Bell and order in English? I'll take something wrapped in a white thing.
No, all right.
Meat wrapped.
Not going to work.
And for the first time ever, we now have over a million native Hawaiians.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep you posted on the Hawaiian population.
As long as they're not Samoans.
Oh, they did have a good segment with that last night.
You know, that's the best. I will miss that show. Bob Barker, because Bob had a thing about Samoans, because apparently they attack him when they win.
Large women who hug him and pounce on him.
Can you understand why I drink at night?
Eddie does.
Oh, like passing a wreck, we do and don't want to know about this. A 21-year-old creep in Australia has posted online a video game called VTech Rampage.
Man, I saw this absolute piece of dung.
As in the tragedy of Virginia Tech. Now,
I mean, you want to talk about a guy seriously, and I know you don't like to give death threats on the radio, but you talk about a guy that just has no business being alive. He was, absolutely remorseless about this, and he was smirking the whole time I saw this interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
He's Australian, you said?
He is, for the most part, and currently, yes, he is. Players control an echo of Cho Chung-Wee. The soundtrack of the game includes screaming along with the gunfire.
Unreal.
Ryan Lamborn is this guy's name. He told the Sydney Morning Herald he did this, quote, because it's funny.
That's exactly what he said. And this, I saw, did you see this interview, Buzz?
I have not.
My God, this guy is, he's disturbed to start with.
Clearly.
I mean, he really is. He's not, and they're giving him what he wants. This is the kind of guy, sweep him under the carpet, don't give him any more exposure, and arrest the guy.
In what world is that funny?
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Here's what Mike's talking about. This guy later said that he would apologize.
Listen to this. This is amazing.
For $1,000.
Yeah, he'll apologize if you pay him money.
Later, he said it was just a joke to make people angry. Quoting again, no one listens to you unless you've got something sensational to do. That's why I feel sympathy for Cho Chung-Wee. He had to go that far, end quote. Ryan grew up, by the way, and was educated here in the U.S., where he says he, too, was bullied.
And this guy, and this is on the internet, correct? That's
right.
Where this is coming from.
The game's actually been pulled.
They pulled the game off the internet. But this is really what happens when you realize some of these bottom feeders that exist out on the internet when they come to the surface. And it's truly amazing to see that you have people with minds like this that are just walking around among us.
That's scary.
The guys who founded YouTube are disagreeing with the Pentagon about the new ban on video and other websites for American troops in Iraq.
Good.
Chad Hurley tells the Associated Press, quote, they created the internet, so I don't know what the problem is.
You say John O'Hurley?
No, Chad Hurley.
This is John O'Hurley. And do not let John O'Hurley take over the Price is Right.
I agree, that's a problem.
That is an insult to Bob Barker.
Dave Price, a natural.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube says it's now working with the Pentagon to try to find a workaround. The Pentagon also cut off access to MySpace and 11 other websites this week.
A workaround sounds dirty.
As opposed, it does, doesn't it?
Sounds great.
Not at all the same as a reach around.
Thank you, Buzz.
Partly, the Pentagon said it was shutting down YouTube and MySpace for the soldiers for security reasons.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
He knows about the reach around.
He does.
Is that one banned, or can we say that one? You know, you never know, Dan.
Nope.
You know,
it is easier.
The standard answer.
I don't know, but I wouldn't say it again.
Okay, I won't say it.
It is easier to get forgiveness than permission.
Very good.
The White House, meanwhile, is opposing a military pay raise of 3.5%.
You can say reach, but a little later sentence you can say around.
Yeah,
that's the way that one will go down.
Sure,
you can get around to reaching later.
I said go down.
The White House says 3% is more in line with civilian cost of living increases. That's why it's opposed to a 3.5% raise for the military. But soldiers' pay already lags behind civilian pay by about 4%.
So I want to thank those Marines for bidding on some of the women that were up for auction last night.
Doesn't lag behind if the civilians work at CBS.
Baltimore goes under lockdown and other stories when we continue.
All right there, boy, pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The Sun likes them. Don and Mike.
All right, we got to get out of here. We got to get right to Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Thanks, Mike. In merry old England, a judge in a case of internet terrorism has admitted he's not sure exactly what a web page is.
That's always good.
Three men are accused of inciting terrorism in England by...
Stop that! It's silly.
They're charged with inciting terrorism by setting up a web forum for Islamic radicals.
And here's a tease for you for Monday's show.
Yeah.
The game that I'm playing involves international intrigue.
Aha! Good kids.
I love intrigue.
Thank you, Mr. Powers.
I went to you. That means you got the apartment.
Yes, your favorite, too. Rob and I like the gayest tape in the system right now. We adore that one.
Why am I not surprised?
I know.
Judge Peter Openshaw had to stop the testimony at one point to say, the trouble is I don't understand the language. The trial continues, but quoting the judge again, I haven't quite grasped the concept.
Is he like the judge on Boston Legal?
Very much.
Did you see the scene the other night with the delivered baby?
Yes.
Oh, God, that's great. Who is that? Can be Shelley Berman?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
God, he's
this would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Fantastic.
That show does not disappoint.
No, it
never
doesn't.
Never. The head of the Michigan Republican Party says he'll try to keep Ron Paul out of future presidential debates. Now, this week's Republican debate, Texas Congressman Ron Paul said...
Ron Paul Flame?
He believes... No, this is a different guy.
Oh, okay.
Come on, donkey.
Ron Paul said he believes the 9/11 attacks were retaliation for the U.S. bombing of Iraq that's gone on for years.
Daggers.
And for the sanctions against Iraq that caused shortages, including medicine.
Be very, very scared of people that have two first names.
Always.
Ron Paul.
Well, the Republican Party's afraid of him. Now the head of the Michigan Republicans circulating a petition.
You know what, Rob's? I'm sorry, Buzz. You know what Rob's doing right now?
No telling.
He is thinking of people with two first names.
Now I won't.
It's hard. It is.
Well, because he gets excited when he
does. Yeah, because he wants to see what he can shake out of that massive cranium.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
That doesn't count.
That counts at every bit.
Only for John Norman.
So the head of the Michigan Republicans passing a petition to keep Ron Paul from ever again sharing a stage with Rudy Giuliani or any of the other candidates. He says Paul's comments were off the wall and out of whack. Congressman Paul says...
Yo.
The proof...
Dick Shawn.
...is in Bin Laden's written reasons for the attack, which Ron Paul has apparently read. Of all the agencies that do studies on 9/11, only one hasn't been made public. It's the one from the CIA.
George Michael.
The National Security Agency and other counterterrorism units of the government have made their reports public, even if it wasn't some edited form.
See what he was doing there? It's two first names.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I had a jingle thing, so it's 2 points.
Right. And
a surreptitious way
baseball
to play.
Player, Mike Stanley.
You go sports, you'll always win.
I know, thank you.
That's right.
The CIA won't even put out an edited version of its report. A couple of ranking lawmakers trying to change that. They want Congress to demand that the CIA cough up some kind of public report within a month.
That's really good. I'll tell you, the CIA ought to work on its movies. I saw The Good Shepherd, and it sucked.
Not so good?
No.
But not very Good Shepherd.
It's not often parts of a city go on lockdown, but in Baltimore, where the murder rate's still rising, the city council's talking about giving the mayor the authority to lock down certain streets.
Hello there, boy.
The lockdown would close liquor stores and bars, limit the number of people on sidewalks, and include lots of stop and searches.
I want to do is get my pack of smokes and a lottery ticket, and they shut down the street.
I can't go over to the Hustler Club if you shut down this street.
Went over and got a dog at Polak Johnny's and walked right by the Bromo Seltzer Tower.
Is there a game tonight? Because this is all being lost if there's a game.
You're right. True. You're absolutely right.
Forget what we just said.
Include motorists and pedestrians, those searches. People would be frisked for weapons and drugs, pretty much like in prison. The mayor's not sure he even wants this authority. Quoting him, we have to make sure we're not declaring martial law. The plan sponsored by the same councilman who got through Baltimore's smoking ban.
And that's Mayor William Donald Schaefer, right?
Right. So mayor for life.
Mayor for life, yes. Wonderful mayor, noted groper.
Is he dead yet?
Is he dead? Are you dead yet?
No, he's not.
Always like the man.
Sure.
Hey, here's your Opie and Anthony held hostage update. Advertisers have started canceling their ads on XM satellite radio because of ONA's suspension. For one, Nashville Coffee Company says it's pulled its ads from a couple of XM channels. Quoting the general manager, it's unfortunate XM executives don't have the guts to stand up for their talent. It's apparent XM is beholden to crybaby special interest groups who cannot separate humor from reality.
Oh, well, that is unbelievable.
How about
to me.
That?
That is truly unbelievable. Good for them, man. Somebody's got a set at that company.
Took some sponsors.
What is the name of the company?
The Nashville Coffee Company. They were advertising both on the Opie and Anthony channel, whatever that's called, I've forgotten.
Right.
And also on...
High Voltage?
And on, yeah, something like that. And also on the Disney, Radio Disney channel.
Well, you know what? Well. Hats off to them. Good for them. Boy, that never happened.
And when you think coffee, think Nashville.
And then think again. He says other advertisers are pulling their spots as well, but he's warning listeners not to boycott advertisers who remain on ONA's XM channel just yet, since it takes about a week for them to get their ads out of the system.
Very good.
And on the subject of ONA, the Fox News channel bit off more than it could chew. The guest was comedian Patrice O'Neill, who was trying to defend Opie and Anthony, and Homeless Charlie, who joked about having violent sex with three prominent women.
Yeah, just a little PR.
The Fox since explained and apologized to its viewer.
Yeah, I'll spend the whole weekend doing that.
Did Steve Doocy explain?
Finally, this one...
Well, that was my boy.
I was thinking about Steve.
Are you ready for your last story?
I am.
You got a lot of oxygen that went to the brain that time.
Well, I was thinking about Steve.
Here we go.
Finally, this punching bag smells funny. In Cincinnati, a cop bought a TKO brand punching bag.
All right.
Now, like all good exercise equipment, it got ignored and then moved from the garage to the basement. And then one day, for whatever reason, Joe Heckel and his son decided to see what was inside the bag. They expected to cut it open and find sand or plastic pellets. Wouldn't you expect that in a punching bag?
It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Here it comes.
Why, whatever do you mean? What they found inside the punching bag was laundry. Dirty laundry. Clothing used by men and women, including bathing suits and soiled underwear.
Yeah, baby.
TKO says it's a quality problem.
TK Tompkins.
And that they're dealing with it. They're sending a new bag to the family in the meantime. The underwear stuffer, says TKO, have been fired.
Isn't that lovely?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Lots of good stuff coming up on Monday. We're getting a new intern.
Hey. Doesn't the bag normally go in the underwear?
It does.
Instead of out the other way.
Can you fit the bag into the underwear? You got to ask her nicely.
Yeah.
That's it. We'll be back Monday with a brand new show. Have a fabulous weekend. Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Mike.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
We will see you Monday, and so long, everybody. Oh, do you want to say something funny?
Good. That was funny.
I just wanted to wish everybody a great weekend.
Thank you, Rob.
How'd that go?
That was nice.
That was funny, Rob.
Thank you. Let me open this door and leave.
Bye.
Bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.